Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 23rd of December, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, Donald Trump has announced a new group of ships to be built. And we're going to talk about that. He calls it his golden fleet of battleships. And so there's not too many details about what the ship is. Certainly no details about cost, because we don't care about that anymore. The last thing on the mind of Donald Trump, the king of debt, is the deficit. He doesn't care about any of that. So we're going to take a look at what that entails. And also today, being December the 23rd, that's a very special date. We're going to talk about the significance of that as well and why that is significant. Something that happened 112 years ago. We'll be right back. I want to say to all of you who supported us yesterday, it was a tremendous, we didn't see a lot of tips on Rumble as we typically do, but we had a lot of other tips, and several people gave a tremendous amount. Of course, Marty was matching it yesterday, and we really do appreciate that. It was one of our most successful ones. Thank you, Marty. Appreciate that, and all of you. It's a very nice Christmas gift. It got us over 7/8. I don't know the gas gauge has been updated this morning or not, but got us over 7/8 and really close to being right there, even with a little bit of next week involved as well. So thank you all so much. And I just want to thank some of the people who contributed yesterday on Cash App. Dave Banks, thank you very much. That was a very generous match. Philip Creswell, Daniel, let me just use the last initial, I'm sorry. Daniel F. and Robert M. Thank you all for these contributions, and apologize for using last names there. I know that people would like to keep that quiet in many cases. And on Zelle, we had William R., Lisa K., Julie W., Scott L., Bobby P., Daniel C., William W., Ryan Forrest, because we've talked about Ryan. Thank you so much, Ryan. And he had a very nice comment. He said, glad to hear Marty is matching funds. He's pulled so much of the weight this year, and he really has. And Ryan is another one. Thank you so much, both of you. And Michael P., Gregory C., thank you, all of you who contributed on Zelle. and everyone who's contributed this month. I want to begin with we're going to get into battleships, but you've got all these big MAGA influencers, for whatever reason, have arranged themselves into a circular firing squad. And it's actually, I'm kind of amused to see it. It's amazing to me how whenever I would talk about the things that I actually saw that involved policy and what was being told, whether it was a truth or a lie, the issues about lockdowns, the issues about vaccines, the issues about January the 6th, when I would talk about that, people would always come after me, and still do. You shouldn't be saying things like that about Alex Jones. You know, I don't hear it anymore about Trump. Those people have moved on, I guess. But I still get people who will criticize me because I say negative things about the lies that Alex Jones told then and continues to tell. And I'm going to call people out on that, and I'm not going to apologize for it. You know, quite frankly, if you don't want to support me, that was not the first thing on my mind when I called out Alex on the lies over Stop the Steal on January the 6th and the lies about the vaccines. I knew that I was warned not to do that. And I chose to do that rather than to get the money to get a payroll. I'm not interested in that. I mean, how short-sighted is that? So, you know, we look at this and you have... the people who were completely silent about all the lockdown and the vax, unless they cheered it. You know, I'm looking at people like Tucker Carlson, silent. You know, he might do eye rolls. That's about all you can get from him. And then later on he said, you can't criticize this stuff or they'll fire you, right? He did it for the money. You had Dan Bongino who did it for the job. You had Ben Shapiro who told you and berated you as being stupid and foolish if you didn't do it. Of course, his wife is a doctor, okay? So he's completely bought into that paradigm. You had people like Candace Owen. I don't remember her pushing back against January the 6th Stop the Steal stuff. I don't remember her pushing back against the shots either. As a matter of fact, I remember her when she had a one-on-one with Trump. She started to go there, and Trump started to brag about, countered by bragging about how he'd saved millions of lives, and she let him say that. She is a limited hangout. She is not going to tell you the truth. I had somebody who was very angry with us because we were saying she was crazy. And she is crazy. I mean, Alex Jones called her crazy. When Alex Jones calls you crazy, he's really embraced that moniker. There was a guy that did a song, I'm going to be crazy like Alex Jones, which I thought was kind of funny. But Alex called her crazy. And I say that she's crazy like a fox, just like Alex is. They know what they can do that's going to get people's attention, and they don't care if it's true or not. Just take a look at all this Macron's wife stuff that she's doing. So what if it's even true? We already know the woman is a pedophile. We know that. That's an open thing. Why doesn't she criticize her about that? And why doesn't she criticize the policies of Macron and war and all the rest of this? No, she's going to focus on whether or not Macron's wife is a secret tranny. Give me a break. Yeah, that's not crazy, but that is grifting, folks. And that's what this is all really about. They're going to avoid the big issues. But Ben Shapiro made a couple of appearances, came out shooting, and he was cheered by both the right and the left, both National Review as well as this Mediaite, which is left-wing anti-Trump. They both thought he was great for what he had to say. He first went by the Heritage Foundation, and as this is reported by Mediaite, he delivered a stunning takedown of Tucker Carlson, in which he called him, quote, an opponent of conservatism, an outsider masquerading as an insider, and destroying the character of the conservative movement in the process. Wait a minute. Was that Tucker or was that Trump? You know, when he says an outsider masquerading as an insider, well, you know, Trump is an insider masquerading as an outsider. So I guess it was about Tucker and destroying the character of the conservative movement. Well, that's definitely Trump. Destroying character just in general, but especially of the conservative movement as he embraces what Reason calls Republican socialism. I call it fascism. It's economic fascism. Trump is literally a fascist in terms of economics. And that is the merger of business and government. And he has really stepped this up very quietly. Over a dozen companies in the last month, he has bought an active partnership into for the government. And I think it's going to pay dividends for his family. His family is also getting heavily involved in one company after the other. They just took their media company, which has, I think it's the company that does Truth Social. And they just bought a big stake in nuclear fusion company. This sounds kind of like Hunter Biden and his expertise in oil with the Ukrainian oil company Burisma. Well, these guys are buying into a fusion company. What does Trump know about fusion? Zero, zip. Maybe he wants to identify as being Mr. Fusion rather than being Biff from Back to the Future. Because that's what they had in mind when they did the character of Biff, was Donald Trump. Then Ben Shapiro showed up ready for a fight at Turning Point USA's America Fest. Well, you know, the thing is, I don't trust Tucker, and you know that. I don't trust him, even though he's mostly saying the right things. For now, we'll see what he does. I think he's a limited hangout. I think he's very dangerous. And I saw this for the longest time about Glenn Beck. Remember Rolling Stone used to, they did a long expose, and Alex used to talk about that quite a bit, talking about how Glenn Beck would echo Alex Jones. And it wasn't just for audience, because what he was doing was building up his credibility with people. And then when the Bundy Ranch came along, he stuck the knife in Clive and Bundy's back, trying to get him to say that he's a sovereign citizen, because that basically puts a bullseye on you for the police. And in the midst of that standoff, to say that he's a sovereign citizen was to completely miss what was happening there. And I think to endanger them as well. And he doesn't know or doesn't care about things like the fusion center. You know, he came on and somebody mentioned the fusion center, and he's like, oh, let me look that up. And they're reading off, he and his co-host are reading off of Wikipedia what a fusion center was. Now, fusion centers kind of got on everybody's radar back in 2009 because these fusion centers from Homeland Security, an abomination if ever there was one, was telling people after the 2008 election, if you see somebody with a Ron Paul bumper sticker or a Chuck Baldwin bumper sticker on their car, these people are likely sovereign citizens. So be ready to shoot them because they may be a threat to your life. And so that's what, he followed. Actually, then Alex followed him in terms of being a limited hangout, in terms of being controlled opposition. Ben Shapiro took on Candace Owen about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and then came after Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and on and on and on. Again, these people are doing what they're doing not because they want to warn you about something, not because they want to inform you. They're going to be a limited hangout. Megyn Kelly will use four-letter words now to be a bad girl. That's her new persona. Tucker Carlson's got a new persona as well after he left Fox News. You can listen to him if you want. I wouldn't trust him. That's my advice to you. I've not had any interaction with Tucker Carlson. I have with Megyn Kelly. National Review did a headline, Three Cheers for Ben Shapiro.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
They said Shapiro's critics accuse him of wanting to cancel his adversaries, but having standards like Israel first, that kind of standard, or speaking truthfully about lies. Did he speak truthfully about the USS Liberty? I'm going to play for you a clip of Ben Shapiro talking about USS Liberty and a survivor of USS Liberty responding to what he had to say.
The USS Liberty incident is very frequently used by anti-Semites to suggest that Israel deliberately targets American ships and then pays no penalty.
Israel murdered 34 of my shipmates in cold blood. They wounded 174 others, including myself, and almost sunk our ship in a constant barrage of nothing but hell on earth.
And there have been multiple naval investigations of the USS Liberty incident.
It says there's been 5 official investigations into the USS Liberty. There's never been one. They're all liars. When you write Congress, prepare to be lied to. In fact, I called my Congress or senator, but guess what? They're all taking money from AIPAC. AIPAC has got them under the thumb.
That there was a case of mistaken identity wherein USS Liberty was in the Mediterranean in a place they were not supposed to be. Israel thought that it was an Egyptian ship and shot it.
The USS Liberty was never a mistaken identity. It was a pre-planned, murderous, savage attack on innocent Americans doing their job for their country. And our country put a knife on our back and paid them billions for it. For murdering American sailors and Marines on the high seas, they got billions, and they're still getting billions from the United States of America because of it.
Now, the question is, why can't we talk about that? Why is that anti-Semitic? That has nothing to do with racism. Give me a break. I'm so sick and tired of the left screaming racist, racist, racist whenever they disagree with you about anything. They want to discredit you with an ad hominem attack that you're a racist. And now the Israeli lobby, the Zionist lobby, is doing the same thing. It's not going to work, Ben. We're on to your game. When are we going to be called racist and anti-Semitic if we talk about Jonathan Pollard that you supported, that Israeli supported, that betrayed us just like with the USS Liberty? This is a foreign government we're talking about. Christians need to get over that, need to understand what is happening with it. But they go on to say, Ben Shapiro has put down an important marker. Anyone vested in the health of the conservative movement should be grateful. Well, I don't know what kind of conservatism Ben Shapiro represents. Actually, I do. It's big government, big business conservatism. It's one of the reasons why Ben Shapiro said, you know, Mr. Potter, not Harry Potter. I guess that Warlock was his son, grandson. Anyway, Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life, he said, was the hero of the story. How do you get to that? We'll talk about that after you hear what Ben Shapiro says about his review of It's a Wonderful Life.
Alrighty, It's a Wonderful Life, which isn't just the best Christmas film. It may be the best film. It's a Wonderful Life. It's an amazing, amazing movie. Obviously, it requires very little introduction. You got Jimmy Stewart, you got Lionel Barrymore, and a cast of thousands. And the entire film is a play on A Christmas Carol. The first half of the film is really, really dark. And people forget how dark the performance that Jimmy Stewart gives in this film is. So Jimmy Stewart was famous for being sort of slapsticky and very Jimmy Stewart. In this film, he gets angry. And when he plays angry, it actually works. Jimmy Stewart, underrated actor, and Jimmy Stewart is this guy who feels hemmed in by life, and he's started this bank, and now he's lost all the money because his dumb uncle, who's a drunk idiot, has lost all the cash, and Lionel Barrymore is taking advantage of him, and he thinks about killing himself, and he's convinced not to by being shown what the world would be like had he not been born. And then, of course, the community comes around to save him. It is the ultimate Christmas movie. It's about forgiveness. It is about community. It's about the unseen contributions that we all make to the lives of the people around us. Now, also, Lionel Barrymore is correct. So on a financial level, the villain of this piece is actually the hero, because if Jimmy Stewart actually gets his way, all of Bedford Falls collapses in the subprime mortgage crisis. Basically, Jimmy Stewart keeps giving out loans without proper checking into the credit history of the people he's giving loans to based on his sort of assessment of their own personal viability financially. Lionel Barrymore is much more by the numbers. Lionel Barrymore is a better banker, and that local bank probably goes under. So the movie was supposed to be sort of a quasi-socialistic FDR parable, but the reality is that the real estate policies followed by just bankrupt Bedford Falls and everybody ends up homeless.
Yeah, that's the conservatism of Ben Shapiro. Big bankers, heartless big corporations. That was what the movie was about. It was not about your subprime mortgages or all the rest of this stuff. Let me tell you, it was about a situation where the community knows each other. He did say that. He did say it was about community. But he said, that's really what Christmas is about. It's about giving and this and that. No, Christmas, Ben, is about Christ. That's what it's really about. You missed that, the ultimate gift. Sorry that you missed that. But the reality is that this is not about subprime. This is about knowing these people personally on a basis, not at a distance. It's not like you've got some office in Wall Street and you're making subprime loans. And those are not bad business decisions. The people who did that got away with it. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were crooks. They were criminals. Mr. Potter was an example of J.P. Morgan himself. The guy who engineered banking runs, the guy who engineered us into the Federal Reserve. And today is the anniversary of that. They waited until most people had gone home. And they passed the Federal Reserve Act, even though there had been some discussion about it. They passed it kind of on the cusp of the Christmas break, as a lot of people had left and rushed this thing through. So it was really about a difference between big banks that don't know you. Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey, didn't make a bad loan when he made these loans to these working people. He knew them. He knew their character. Now, this is an example of why we don't want to do welfare with the federal government. And if possible, we wouldn't want to deal with the J.P. Morgan banks or the Bank of America banks or all these other banks that do business at a distance. They don't know you. You're nothing but numbers to them. And you're nothing but numbers to Ben Shapiro as well. As a matter of fact, let's just go ahead. Yeah.
It's ridiculous that he would try to equate that to the subprime mortgage thing when that's sort of the opposite of it. It was, large amounts of these things getting shuffled into some bland, nameless
that's
fund
right.
that then got shuffled into a larger fund that then people started betting on in an absurd gambling pyramid strategy.
Yeah, this whole subprime thing that collapsed, it was not really about bad loans as much as it was about bad bankers and the people who are putting that stuff together deceptively. They're packaging these things together and selling you derivatives of the mortgages. And they were hiding bad mortgages from investors who bought into it. And so it was about the madness of crowds. It was about dishonesty on Wall Street. It was about deliberate deception. And that's really what we see in Mr. Potter as well. For the people for whom numbers and money mean everything.
Over the last 100 years, the Federal Reserve has created bubbles and burst them, enslaved us with debt, and destroyed our purchasing power through inflation. Yes, it's been a wonderful lie for the bankers. There are striking parallels in Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life to the lies and tricks that real bankers used to create the Federal Reserve. Human nature doesn't change, and the greedy elite of 1913 and 2013 look and act a lot like Potter, the banker in the movie. And many Americans are left like George Bailey, staring into the abyss as their dreams collapse and they face financial ruin. Do we live in a country that looks a lot more like Pottersville than Bedford Falls? What does Frank Capra's film show us about how we got here and how we can get out? When the Federal Reserve was created 2 days before Christmas 100 years ago, it was a culmination of 6 years of fraud, fear, and manipulation.
I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run.
The panic of 1907 was used to shape public support for the Fed. The panic was triggered by rumors that two major banks were about to become insolvent, just as we see in the movie.
George, there is a rumor around town that you've closed your doors. Is that true? I am going all out to help in this crisis. I have just guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They will close up for a week and then reopen.
Just took over the bank.
I may lose a fortune, but I am willing to guarantee your people, too. Just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I will pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Oh, you never miss a trick, do you, Potter?
Unfortunately, J.P. Morgan got away with the deception and was able to shut down competitors and snapped up assets at fire sale prices.
Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan. I saved all the rest.
Yes, well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers.
Charles Lindbergh Sr. warned people at the time of the creation of the Federal Reserve that it would not stop boom and bust cycles, but would actually create them in order to benefit its private owners. Here's what he said. To cause high prices, all the Federal Reserve Board will do will be to lower the rediscount rate, producing an expansion of credit and a rising stock market. Then, when businessmen are adjusted to these conditions, it can check prosperity in mid-career by arbitrarily raising the rate of interest. It can cause a pendulum of a rising and falling market to swing gently back and forth, or cause violent fluctuations by a greater rate variation. And in either case, it will possess inside information as to the financial conditions and advanced knowledge of the coming change, either up or down. This is the strangest, most dangerous advantage ever placed in the hands of a special privileged class by any government that ever existed. The system is private, conducted for the sole purpose of obtaining the greatest possible profits from the use of other people's money. They know in advance when to create panics to their advantage, and they know when to stop panic. Inflation and deflation work equally well for them when they control the finance. As we see in the movie, not all lending...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated. And against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal. For all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Institutions have the same motivations.
Now, you take this loan here to Ernie Bishop. You know, that fellow that sits around all day on his brains in his taxi, you know. I happen to know the bank turned down this loan. But he comes here, and we're building him a house worth $5,000. Why?
Well, I handled that, Mr. Potter. You have all the papers there, his salary, insurance. I can personally vouch for his character.
Friend of yours?
Yes, sir.
You see, if you shoot pool with some employee here, you can come and borrow money. What does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
As a former FDIC chair said, All too often, the large banks use their models and their algorithms, and if you don't fit in their boxes, you don't get the loan. And Dodd-Frank legislation is tying the hands of small lenders, shutting out buyers and shutting down lenders. Today, there are fewer lenders than at any time the government has kept records. 10,000 banks disappeared between 1984 and 2011.
This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter. Come on.
In the movie, George gets to see what happens to the small town if Potter didn't have competition from credit unions and smaller lenders.
If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. And my... Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else?
Yeah, so you still think killing yourself would make everyone feel happier, eh?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you're right. I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
Pottersville, the only businesses thriving are vice. People are angry. The town is filled with signs like, keep moving, keep off the grass. Bert the cop actually shoots at George when he's running away and is no threat to anyone.
Stand back!
Everyone is a renter. No one has a stake.
Now, you're Ernie Bishop, and you live in Bailey Park with your wife and kid.
Look, Bud, what's the idea? I live in a shack in Pottersville. My wife ran away 3 years ago and took the kid, and I ain't never seen you before in my life, see?
Private property and everyone having a stake is the antidote to Pottersville.
Here, you're all businessmen here. Don't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers?
But whether it's the Trans-Pacific Partnership or a global carbon tax, the global elite don't see you as a stakeholder. They want to turn us all into serfs and treat us like cattle.
Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on.
Speaking of riches, do you find the salary amounts amusing when Potter tries to buy George off?
Let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
45.
45. George, I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, a couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I?
Even if George had saved a lot of his $20,000 salary, would it have bought much a couple of decades later? By even the government's very conservative estimate of inflation, the dollar has lost 90% of its value since 1947 when the movie was made. The Fed's deliberate inflation is devastating to anyone trying to accumulate wealth through hard work and saving. So what is the answer to all the George Baileys out there 100 years after the government gave control of our money supply to private bankers like Potter? Well, Potter had more money than he could spend. But would any of you want to be Potter?
You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider.
George Bailey finally sees how rich his own life is, as he sees the fruits of relationship, honesty, and compassion.
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you.
And if the public can awaken to the lies of the Federal Reserve, if it could even be audited.
Well, hello, Mr. Bank Examiner.
How? It would be a huge step to breaking the chains that enslave all of us. But ultimately, it is God that changes minds and changes hearts. God hates oppression, and we can and should confidently pray that he will stop it.
I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear Father. Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son, George, tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight. Please, God,
Something's the matter with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back.
Dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Tell Alexa to add the APS radio skill and have access to the best channels anywhere, from country to blues, classic hits to news. APS radio curates incredibly diverse playlists for you to enjoy. Get details at APSradio.com.
Well, welcome back, and we have a very special guest who's going to read the comments for us today. The first one we have is from Jerry Alitalo. Go ahead, Lance.
Jerry Alitalo says, there's one person on earth who watches It's a Wonderful Life and takes sides with banker Potter Ben Shapiro.
Very good. So Trump is our special guest today. Lance rigged this thing up for us so we can do it in real time, but... it's one of the things I said in that piece. I said, would any of you want to be Harry? Would any of you want to be Potter? I keep saying Harry. Would any of you want to be Mr. Potter? Ben Shapiro raises his hand. That's the only person on earth who wants to be Potter. Again, I guess, instead of a warped, frustrated old man, as George Bailey describes Potter, we got a warped, frustrated young man. I would not want to be Potter. I would not want to be Ben Shapiro either. We've got another comment here.
Your Edmund, when the Baron NK1 says, speaking of It's a Wonderful Life, I prefer the SNL alternative ending, the one where George Bailey rips Potter's arm off and beats him to death with it.
I haven't seen that one. but yeah, I guess so. It's, that would be good, yeah. When you look at this, I guess maybe if Trump can build his freedom cities, maybe we can call them Trumpville. That's what he'll probably name it after himself in some way, shape, or form. Go ahead, Lance. Or
Trump
should say Donald. Yeah, go ahead, Donald. Yeah, give us the next one.
So Star Barkley says, there's a clip of La Crescenta, California, as the development where Potter's renters were buying with loans from the Baileys. The home my parents owned there now goes $1.5 million, a one-story house.
There's inflation for you, right? Yeah, you can have the finest house in the area. Only $1.5 million. It's amazing.
And, he said that they're building a home that cost $5,000, and that's now apparently a $1.5 million home.
Yeah, yeah. And big numbers guys that Ben Shapiro thinks are so great have made sure that we are homeless. You know, the Mr. Potters have won. We look a lot more like Pottersville than anything else. So, yeah, thank you, Lance. That's a great job. Thank you for getting that together. We're going to have another guest. Oh, we do. Okay, go ahead.
Each is where it exists for Chloe and Chidi or Severus for Lonnie and Nerstendit.
Okay, so it's not perfect. That one was just gibberish.
I like real thing. Trump just had a senior moment.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Okay, well, let's talk about the buggy whip ships that he's talking about. He's going to build a lot of new battleships. And I saw that and I kind of almost fell out of my chair. It's like, battleships? This is not state-of-the-art stuff. It's got to be something else. And it turns out it is. He just doesn't know what he's talking about. I think he and War Pete were playing a board game of battleship just before the thing out there. But again, nothing about what it's going to cost. And he doesn't really have any specs on the ships either. The Trump class. Well, of course, it's just about spending money. That's all it's about. And they're really fast. And they've got all kinds of things in it. I can just envision Trump getting a pitch on this from General Bucky Turgeson. Remember that from Dr. Strangelove? Oh, we see one of those babies come in, those B-52s, you know, real close to the ground, flying chickens to the barnyard. You know, these babies are unbelievable. And so he's got people that are pitching him these things. And, of course, he's going to put the bill on you, Mr. Deficit, Mr. Debt, Trump. And so when you look at a battleship, it's not a battleship at all. As a matter of fact, the battleships were known for being really large, heavy ships that had a lot of armor and had really big guns. And they could, you know, fire long distances into land. Of course, you don't need that anymore with cruise missiles and with other missiles like that. That was a way that they could deliver munitions to various places. Gunboat diplomacy was what that was about. And today, having this kind of centralization of firepower, just like the centralization of political power, you know, this is what these guys always want in their life. They want all power in the presidency, all power in Washington, and all the Washington power in the presidency. So they want to make centralized, complicated systems that they control. And that has always been the weakness of authoritarian governments and tyrannical governments and Marxist governments. It's the weakness of the American government now. Complicated, centralized dinosaurs. And so is that what we're talking about here? You know, they actually recommissioned some of these battleships back in the 1980s, and they were very expensive to do that. They recommissioned them so that they could fire some missiles and that type of thing. And again, I'm not a military expert by any means, certainly not naval stuff. But even I know the story about World War II and how the Japanese thought they had delivered a big blow when they sunk the battleships. But the real issue was that the aircraft carriers were out to sea. And just as it was aircraft carriers that allowed the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor, it was aircraft carriers that were going to be the key asset of that war. And so he's not looking even at another aircraft carrier. He's looking at what he calls battleships. But they're not really battleships. They're more like the large versions of the Arleigh-class destroyers that are out there. They have a wide variety of armaments on them. They're going to have the ability to launch drones and perhaps, hopefully, to be able to defend against drone swarms. They're going to have some laser weapons on them and things like that. And so Trump talks about a golden fleet. It's really more like a golden fleece. He's going to fleece all of us in America to pay for these luxury assets of the military-industrial complex. They're going to make a lot of money out of this. Whether or not it's going to be useful in a real war or not, who knows? Hopefully we won't find out, but I'm afraid with Trump we may. He keeps pushing this really hard. Everybody's pushing towards war. These things are not going to be ready for another couple of years. They're talking about 20 to 25 of them. We still don't know the cost, because who cares? This is the Pentagon. This is Washington. Nobody cares about the cost. So Trump made the announcement at Mar-a-Lago with War Pete. No details have been released about the substance of the announcement, but it's going to be his focus on shipbuilding. You know, we don't build many ships at all. The Chinese are building a lot of ships. You know what they use them for? Commerce, not war. They're actually making money from their ships. Ours are just a sunken cost, and let's hope they're not a sunken cost, literally. Maybe he's looking at South American gunboat diplomacy that he's going to run with this thing. But here's his announcement that he made about the, hopefully these aren't buggy whips that they're building.
As Commander-in-Chief, it's my great honor to announce that I have approved a plan for the Navy to begin the construction of two brand new, very large, largest we've ever built, battleships. You know, you used to build the Iowa, the Missouri, the Wisconsin, the Alabama, many others. We had big battleships. These are bigger, but they will have 100 times the, there'll be 100 times the force, the power, and there's never been anything like these ships. These have been under design consideration for a long time.
All he got was a Bucky Turgeson sales pitch.
Because I said, why aren't we doing battleships like we used to? And these are the best in the world. They'll be the fastest, the biggest, and by far 100 times more powerful than any battleship ever built. So if you look at the Iowa, the Missouri, Wisconsin, Alabama, and others, but they were similar in size. Some a little bit bigger than the others. But if you take the biggest one, it's 100 times more powerful. They're longer by a little bit, but they're bigger. They're bigger ships, but they hold much more. They use the word lethality. Battleships are.
He's been talking to Hegseth, hasn't he? Lethality.
Vessel.
You notice he keeps mentioning the Iowa and some of the others. The one that he didn't mention was the Arizona, which is at the bottom of Pearl Harbor. Unfortunately, because it was a relic of World War I, and it was antiquated at the beginning of World War II. But that's Trump's mindset. He really doesn't understand. He's just being told they're lethal and all the rest of this stuff. And, you know, when he says it's 100 times faster, one of the interesting things was there was an article where they went back and they had about a dozen different times where Trump was bragging about something or boasting about something. That was an absolute lie. And they said he's got to tell when he lies like this. Many times he'll say, 92%, 92% bigger, 92% off, or whatever. You know, it's he loves to use the term 92% when he's just making stuff up. And so we look at this, and we hope that it's something that isn't going to bankrupt us. It's not going to get a lot of people killed, because he is adamantly determined, as is Warpete, to get us involved in more and more wars. Well, these so-called Trump-class ships are not really battleships. It's really more like a destroyer, but it's really big. So that's why he's calling it a battleship, I guess. They have advanced capabilities like hypersonic missiles, rail guns, high-powered lasers.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Nuclear-armed sea-launched cruise missiles. Now, the problem is that we don't have hypersonic missiles. You got a ship to put them on, but they have yet to get them working. The Russians have them. The Chinese have them. We're picking fights with them, but we don't have any hypersonic missiles, and we don't have any defenses against them either. And so as far as rail guns go, to my and high-powered lasers, there have been some tests of some of those things. I don't know if they've deployed any of them, if they've got them working. I know they don't have hypersonic missiles yet. So there's a lot of fantasy here. They're designed to be 30 to 40,000 plus tons, larger than current destroyers. Will incorporate modern weapon systems such as vertical launch system cells for hypersonic and CPS missiles, as well as rail gun. So they're throwing the kitchen sink into all of this. It's going to be very expensive. It's going to be a lot of complexity and a lot of concentration of firepower into one thing. And in an environment where people have drone swarms and hypersonic missiles, I don't know that that makes much sense. It makes sense for the military industrial complex to make money off of it. I don't know if it makes much sense in a war situation. The term battleship, as the U.S. has not built such vessels since the 1990s. Actually, earlier than that, I guess the 1990s are talking about the refitting of some of those older battleships. The role of the large gun armed ships has diminished with the rise of aircraft carriers and long-range missiles. You don't really need them, but we'll see what happens with it. Again, it's going to be 2.5 years before they get these things on board. How many wars will we have in 2.5 years before they get these things on board? Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back, folks. Stay with us.
listening to The David Knight Show. Listening to The David Knight Show.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
Welcome back, and we have some comments about that. We'll have Donald Trump himself read it to us. Go ahead, Lance.
Real Jason Barker says drone carriers will be the new thing.
Absolutely right. Yeah, that's... It's amazing to me how stuck in the past these people are. You know, go back and his whole mindset is to build a battleship. Fortunately, it's not quite that bad. But still, large, complex, incredibly expensive things are, it's this calcified, antiquated empire thinking that Trump embodies. It truly is amazing. You're right, Jason. And again, Jason, Knights of the Storm, check him out. And we got another comment here.
Wally Walrus says, my $300 drone sunk your battleship.
Yeah, that wasn't in the game, I guess, that Hegseth and Trump are playing at Mar-a-Lago on that board game. They don't have drones, I guess. I don't know. But that's really what's going to happen, pretty much. Yeah, Alien Poop Evolution's got a good comment.
A and Poop Evolution says, drones, carriers, tractor trailers like iRobot open up and a swarm flies out.
Yeah, we've actually seen that. Do you remember the big attack on Russia that took out so many of their very large, expensive planes as they were parked at the airport? How'd they do that? Well, they smuggled in a tractor trailer. The top part of the trailer opened up. And these drones come out and blow up about five or six of these very, very expensive planes. That is, this kind of warfare, they still haven't figured this out, even though they've been watching what's going on. Have they been watching what's going on with Ukraine and Russia? It's pretty amazing, but yeah, it really is outdated, this whole mindset of this stuff. And we don't want to have an empire anyway. Maybe it'll be taken away that way. Go ahead, Lance. We got something else from Trump here.
A Syrian girl says, Trump's big, beautiful battleships remind me of the biggest ship ever boasted of, the Titanic. So will he have written on the side, even God can't sink these ships?
Yeah, that's a good comment. I like that. We should call these Titanic class. This is the biggest ever. They're unsinkable. They're impervious to anything. It's that kind of arrogance and stupidity. And it's that kind of arrogance and stupidity that gets us into one war after the other.
And I've still got the previous comment from before.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chalier says they love Pottersville.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. The National Review, Ben Shapiro, they love that. That's where they hang out.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, major signs of another coming dark age. Collapsing the West could make history repeat itself. Problem is, this is from Victor Davis Hanson, and he really doesn't have a clue about the fourth turning. He doesn't look at this as a generational thing. He sees the corruption. He sees all the signs there. But he goes back and he looks at a couple of major collapses where he went into the Dark Ages. When Greek civilization collapsed 8th century B.C., and then he talks about when we went into the Dark Ages after the collapse of the Roman Empire. But that's not what we're looking at here. This cycle is an 80-year cycle. Yeah, maybe it'll be a very big cycle, a very big collapse. I've been saying for the longest time, I think this fourth turning that we're right at the tail end of. And I guess who's going to be at the helm as we go into this storm? Donald Trump. Yeah, you talk about a Titanic. It is a Titanic type of problem, and he's rearranging the deck chairs, he and the Republican Party. Very busy rearranging the deck chairs, aren't they? On this Titanic voyage, we're on there with them. But yeah, the cycle is about every 80 years. And as I said, you know, when we look at the previous ones, prior to this, we had the Great Depression, World War II, then we had Civil War. Before that, we had the American Revolutionary War. And I've said for the longest time, I think this is going to be a combination of the three, and it will be global. So it'll be a depression, it'll be world war, it'll be civil war, it'll be a revolutionary war. We're going to see this in a lot of different ways. And we're having a lot of people talking about this at European outlet. A guy by the name of Ralph Schulhammer said the EU could be gone in 4 years. A revolutionary eruption is coming. A lot of people are seeing this. Interesting. And as I said for the longest time, everybody uses the a generational perspective. They even use the terms that Strauss and Howe came up with, millennials and so forth, but they will not talk about the fourth turning. Why is that? They know precisely what is happening. They even talk about it in terms of the timing. Here's this guy saying, well, 4 years. So when is that? 2029? 2030? This has been what they've been talking about now for quite some time. For over 10 years, they've been talking about this deadline, which coincides with what Strauss and Howe said about the fourth turning back in early 90s when they were talking about this generational view of history. So yeah, 2029, 2030, the fourth turning. He says, in 1988, if you'd told anyone that the Soviet Union would cease to exist just 4 years later, you would have been dismissed as a crank. The institutions looked solid, the bureaucracy was entrenched, and the power was absolute. Yet by 1992, it was history. Well, he sees this in the EU where he lives. I see it in the American Empire. You know, whenever you look at these institutions, they may look solid. It might be like the 200-year-old tree that you see, and you've been used to seeing it. It looks gigantic. It looks very solid. And yet, it's all hollowed out and dead on the inside, chewed out by insects. And the first time a stiff breeze comes along, it just collapses. That's what we're going to see, I think, with both America and with the EU. European politicians in Brussels, Berlin, and Paris suffer from the same dangerous optimism. They believe they're so safely ensconced in their institutional frameworks that public anger can never truly throw them out of the saddle. But looking at the trajectory of the European Union, I believe we're close to a revolutionary moment, closer to it, than the elites dare to imagine. We often hear comparisons to the 1930s, to Munich, to 1938, but this is the wrong history. If you want to understand Europe's current predicament, look instead to France in 1788, or Russia in 1917. And again, understand that at this point in time, you know, all these different countries had their own cycle and so forth. So you look at Russia, 1917, and then it collapsed 72 years later, 1989. And so it does follow like four generational cycles. And but now what has happened is that everybody is kind of on the same cycle. Consider the French Revolution, one of the primary drivers of the monarchy's fiscal collapse, accelerated by the financing of the American Revolutionary War. Morally, supporting American independence was a justifiable cause, but from a pragmatic standpoint, it bankrupted the state, it failed to bring the expected economic benefits, and it created the conditions for the monarchy's overthrow. Europe is walking the same path in Ukraine. We see leaders like former Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin or Ursula von der Leyen making great moral statements insisting that Russia must be entirely pushed out of Ukrainian territory. But there is a massive gap between this rhetoric and political reality. You can write any 28-point peace plan that you like, but the reality is that Russia, China, and Iran are outproducing NATO in a war of attrition. Steel, drones, ammunition. In international politics, power is the main currency, and right now Moscow has the leverage. The idea that aggressive powers are never rewarded is a nice bedtime story. But history, whether you're talking about Frederick the Great or the Prussian invasion of France in 1871, tells us otherwise. By overextending ourselves financially and militarily for a conflict that we cannot sustain, European governments are delegitimizing themselves at home. You can't demand that your citizens sacrifice their living standards for war in the Donbass when they're worried about the cost of heating their homes. This brings us to the second pillar of Europe's decline, the Soviet-style prioritization of ideology over economic reality. Nowhere is this clearer than in our energy policy. In Europe, we were promised that the green transition would trigger a new economic miracle. And of course, we all know that it would have taken a miracle in order to actually do that, to do something about this MacGuffin lie that they had put out there. We all know it was a grift. Instead, we have stagnation and contraction. We are shutting down blast furnaces, shutting down aluminum smelters, in the name of saving the planet while our geopolitical rivals expand theirs, and while China builds more and more coal-powered plants. And America is so rich in coal, we don't need to go abroad having wars for oil. We could power most of the things that we need with coal, our grid, and we could be able to buy, if we weren't belligerent, we could still get access to the oil. We have a lot of oil ourselves. To put it cynically, you can go green or you can go to war, but you can't do both. You can't fight a war of attrition if you have de-industrialized your economy in order to satisfy an environmentalist religion, because that's exactly what it is. It's a religion that treats empirical evidence and data as heresy. Yeah, we don't want to show you our data. You know, we're going to be the high priests of science. I am science. Obey me. It is complete madness. We have created a regulatory regime where saving a single salmon or protecting a nesting site takes precedence over national security and economic viability. Then there is the cultural dimension. There is a fantasy in Washington and London that Germany can simply flick a switch and become a military power again. But you can't spend 40 years teaching your youth that nationalism is evil, that patriotism is suspect, that the military is bad, and then expect them to suddenly rush to the recruitment office. Young German men are asking a very logical question. You want us to pay high taxes to support a migration policy that imports young men from Syria to live on welfare? And then you want to conscript us to fight a Russian tank in Eastern Europe? The social contract is broken. The Green Party, which was once a pacifist party, are now the loudest militarists. That's right. It's absolutely amazing when you look at these different groups. Do we still have that clip of the Christmas market here? I don't think we do.
Yeah, we do. Give me just a sec. I can find it. It's low on the...
Here it is. Yeah, if the problem is Islamophobia, why do we need security barriers outside of Christmas markets, yet not outside of mosques? The mosques are not being attacked by people, but the Christmas markets are. That should tell you everything this time of year. Absolutely. So they feel it when they visit a Christmas market, and they see armed military guards next to the wine stand. If these grievances are not addressed, the system will break. A revolution doesn't always mean pitchforks in the streets. It can happen at the ballot box. But if the establishment tries to ban parties, which they're doing in Germany and in France and other places, censor speech with quote-unquote democracy shields, and prevent political change, they only make the eventual eruption more violent.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And so here's an example of what the elites are focused on. In the UK, they've got a problem. They need to have more women as policemen, they say. Yeah, that's their problem. And they need to not only have more women, they need to have more Muslim women. Problem is, the Muslim women wear these headscarves and things like that to cover up their hair. And it makes them vulnerable. You can grab those scarves and you can jerk their neck around. You can choke them. You can throw them to the ground with those scarves. So they've been working for a while to try to figure out how to... hey, by the way, we don't have that clip anymore. We played it a couple of months ago. It was a pub, and there were these two women police officers. And there was this one guy that was unruly, and he wasn't even really making an effort. I mean, just like, get off of me, you know, type of thing. They could not subdue this guy. Finally, big guy goes over and throws him to the ground.
I don't think tactical jobs are really going to fix the problem that female cops face of being not all that intimidating in a fight.
That's right. So here we are. the solution to all this, we've got to have more Muslim women as police officers. So let's give them magnetic hijabs, okay? The blue light hijab is designed to prevent strangulation and to protect the modesty of female officers who wear the religious headwear. The hijab has already been given to every eligible officer in Leicestershire Police Force, and other forces are now placing orders, as well as other emergency service workers such as paramedics and NHS employees. The hijab consists of two pieces of fabric attached by a magnetized quick-release clasp and is designed to detach from the head easily during a confrontation. And so they may actually find another market in this for women who are not police officers but are Muslim, and they have abusive husbands and other men. They're kind of known for abuse of their women.
Just what the modern Muslim woman needs.
A breakaway hijab. There you go. They aim to protect Muslim women from assault and having their headwear pulled over their eyes as a distraction. So, yeah, I think this is they've got a large market for this. It was actually designed by a detective sergeant who was the first one to come up with the idea. He himself is Muslim. He was the founder of the Leicestershire Police Association of Muslim Police. He said, it's actually taken years to develop it properly. We completed the combat trials at Enderby with female officers wearing it, and it held up. The bottom part was able to detach, and the officer was able to keep her dignity. Well, keep your dignity, but you're not going to be able to win the battle.
It took them years to develop a cloth that is magnetic, that goes around your hair.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're doomed, aren't we? It's amazing. So for the first time ever, we have set up manufacturing in the UK for this. So they may have shut their steel plants down and their coal-fired energy plants, but they're going to be able to make magnetic tearaway hijabs.
That's leading the progress. World in the manufacture of tactical hijabs.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe they'll find an export market for it or something, right? It's amazing to think that after 3 years of research and development, we have got the design of this right, and we're taking it forward together. It's a great product. It's safe, and it protects Muslim women's dignity. Well, maybe you might want to protect their dignity by not putting them in a job that they really can't do. But this is their priority.
It protects their dignity by, you know, allowing us to keep them in this.
You know, the one thing is that we can thank the trainees for, and that is putting a lie to the idea that women are going to be able to compete with men in some kind of a physical activity like this. What they need is they need to train these women if they're going to put them in that situation. I would never put a woman in a physical situation because we don't want them using lethal force as a first resort. And that really is the key here. I remember years ago they had a couple of young, very fit guys who were Scandinavian police officers. I don't remember which country it was, whether Sweden or Norway, Finland or whatever. They were in New York City. Something happened on a subway. And these guys basically, unarmed, because they're traveling as tourists, they didn't have to use weapons or anything. They didn't have to shoot anybody. They didn't have to taser anybody. They didn't have to handcuff anybody. What these two guys did was they broke up these thugs and basically tied them into a pretzel on the floor of the subway train and waited until the police got there to arrest them. And they didn't even break a sweat doing it. I mean, they were almost kind of laughing when the cops got there because it wasn't difficult for them to. That's what you want to be able to do with the police. You want to be able to get a violent situation under control without escalating it, without killing somebody. And, you know, firearms are something that elderly people and women need to really think about because it may not save you, but it does level the playing field in a way that just trying to come in and fight by hand is not going to do. As a matter of fact, as we look at the way that they are committing suicide, a study shows coal's importance to electric affordability. Who knew? The group I was working with about 12 years ago knew, and talking about it all the time. We always knew this. So they got a new study to estimate the cost of replacing coal plants with renewable power sources. We should have paid attention to this thing decades ago, because we already knew all this. We didn't need the study. But what they did in the study was they looked at the annual cost of replacing coal power plants. They said, well, if we replace them with, for example, renewable sources of electricity as solar alone, or if we add in the very expensive battery energy storage systems, BESS, BESS, or natural gas, or we use wind alone, or we use wind that is backed up by BESS or backed up by natural gas. So they looked at all those, and they still found that the by far and away the best solution economically and for reliability was coal. So ask Santa for a lump of coal in your stocking this year. That's really what you want. Electricity prices for residential, commercial, industrial, and transportation sectors averaged just under 7% increase year to year. But this is about to go vertical because of the AI data centers. AI is going to affect us. It's, like I said before, this is the threat to electricity availability and affordability. This is the threat coming from the technocracy, coming from the right, if you will, as opposed to the green attack that was coming from the left. They're both going to have the same end result here. So it varies from state to state, but the thing that's going to be driving this is the data centers and AI, as well as government taxes, state and local taxes, and that type of thing. They said almost 42 gigawatts of coal-fired generation, that's 46 plants, 79 generating units, have retired or have announced plans to retire throughout 2025 and 2028. So they are building more power plants than this in China on a regular basis because they're going to be doing all the manufacturing. It's just a given. This is the biggest part of the China price, and it used to not even be the part of the China price. So West Virginia alone really is not closing because they have a lot of coal. And but you know, when I went to Texas back in 2012, they were closing coal-powered plants left and right and oil-powered plants, and they were building this big boondoggle of wind power that took us all down in 2021 when they froze up. The study estimates that continuing to operate retiring coal plants rather than building new renewable power sources could save at least $3 billion and as much as $4 billion per year. Yeah, but who cares? That's chump change, isn't it?
It's as much Trump as change. $54 billion per year.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, $54 billion per year. Anywhere from 3 to 54 billion. I wrote over that, so thank you for correcting me. The huge cost savings do not even quantify the loss of reliability attributes that coal provides and renewables do not. See, renewables, that's a good name for them because they don't last forever. You got to constantly renew these things as well. You know, the solar panels as well as the windmills themselves, they wear out, they have to be replaced. So you constantly have to renew them. Policymakers need to understand that an energy strategy that includes coal as an irreplaceable part of our electricity mix is crucial to maintaining affordable and electricity prices and reliability on our grid. And the fact that they want to put these things down tells you what their real agenda is. Well, there's a lot of concern that as they roll out these robots that again, it's the fear-mongering coming from the UK, coming from a tabloid in the UK, The Sun, said, well, you know, this AI robot, Chinese humanoid robots could be a Trojan horse inside the West, could be turned against their masters by Xi Jinping. Again, instead of Ming the Merciless, we have Xi Jinping the Merciless. And there's a video that you're looking at right there. That comes from China. They're showing their army of robots all moving together.
Kind of reminds me of the Terracotta Army, except a lot more intimidating, because these ones actually do move.
That's right. Yeah, they've been doing this kind of thing for a while, except now they're not made of clay.
Chinese have the most experience in creating artificial armies.
Instead of Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon, we have Xi Jinping the Merciless, who can just flip a switch and make this army of robots start to attack people. Well, the reality is that, you know, that can be the case. They had some researchers, some white hat hackers, who flipped one robot, and then he's communicating with other robots, and flipped a whole bunch of them, and started doing destructive things, dangerous things. But they don't mention anywhere in this article autonomous cars. Autonomous cars are much more dangerous than the robots because they're much larger. They can block intersections, as we saw in San Francisco when they freak out. If somebody were to weaponize these things in a robo-apocalypse, that was a Michael Crichton thing, wasn't it, robo-apocalypse? Or was that somebody else?
It doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. Well, maybe it's somebody else. Somebody wrote a book called Robo-apocalypse. And it was that whole type of sci-fi scenario. So it's nothing new. But if you're going to make some of these autonomous moving things into a weapon, that would be the thing that you'd want to do it with the cars, because they have so much capability. As a matter of fact, you know, we just had another report of a Tesla Cybertruck, and it was some young kids who were driving it. They had an accident. They got it wedged between a retaining wall and a tree. And when it compromised the battery, it burst into flames. People ran over, and they couldn't get the door open, right, because the door is under electronic control. And so people rushed over trying to get them out, but with the extra armoring and everything they have on the Cybertruck, they couldn't get them out. Watched them burn to death inside the truck. You take these electric cars, they're much more liable to burst into flames. I remember when Michael Hastings was assassinated, and I'm absolutely convinced that he was assassinated. I looked at that situation, it goes flying by like 110 miles an hour in the middle of the night. Some cameras caught him, and they didn't see the explosion, but what happened was the engine blew up and went down the road in the direction that he was going, and then his car veered off.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
To the side and had a frontal collision with a tree, and yet it burst into flames. And I said, I have questions about that. Because I went back and I looked at a lot of car crashes, you know, NASCAR crashes and things like that at high speed. And one of the ones that I played when I was talking to people about it, I said, look at this over and over again. This is a car race. It wasn't NASCAR. I think it was a Formula One or something. They go around this curve and there was something slick there. And one car after the other goes around the curve, loses control, and goes spinning out and crashes into a wall. And, you know, several of them do that, and then another one comes along and spins out, and hits the wall back end first where the gas tank is, and it bursts into flames immediately. And I said, it seems to me like, this thing blew up while it was going down the road, because I don't see how, if they're going to tell us that this thing caught fire and ejected the engine when it hit that tree. An engine's not going to get ejected like that from a frontal collision. It's going to be pushed into the car. It's certainly not going to be ejected. And it's certainly not going to be ejected at a right angle to the collision. So I didn't buy any of that at all. But you only look at the electric cars. The reason I bring this up is look at the electric cars, and they've got batteries underneath the entire floor platform. It can get compromised in any of those areas and burst into flames, and it becomes a runaway fire. So, it's the robot cars that you need to worry about that are going to be doing this. So exploiting the flaw within the robot's AI system, Beijing could hijack hundreds of these household robots to launch an attack on the West, it is feared. Well, again, I just put this in the category of complex infrastructure vulnerability. Just another one of those. But I think the real issue is the cars. They're trying to make an issue by saying, well, once they deploy them into medical and elderly care, I just don't think that that is the orientation of the Chinese right now to say, well, let's go kill all the people in the old homes. That's something that Cuomo looks at. That's not something that Xi Jinping looks at. That's something that they're trying to do in order to save on their pension plans. That's what was really happening in 2020. But they're looking at something where they want to take down the entire infrastructure. And that kind of asymmetric warfare is something that we could expect to see, much more so than the direct frontal assaults. Of course, the same thing, both those things have happened. And when you look at what is happening with Russia and Ukraine, how can anybody miss the drone attacks that each of them are doing on each other's infrastructure? Very vulnerable targets like oil refineries. I mean, it doesn't take much in terms of a drone explosion to blow up an oil refinery. The report also claims that the emphatic capabilities of social robots might in the future be abused by criminal and terrorist actors for a variety of malicious activities. Cars are even more dangerous and also hackable. Meanwhile, HHS is going to prohibit hospitals from performing sex change surgery on kids. This is long overdue. And I'm glad that RFK Jr. is doing this, and kudos to him for doing that if he actually gets this through. So they're going to stop them from mutilating and sterilizing children. And that's why we were talking about the other day. Children cannot consent to sex. You know, even if these kids were lying about their age and wanted to do this, they don't have the judgment to do that. There's other things that are happening. And that's why we oppose the mutilation, the sterilization of children. That's why we oppose abortions for children, which Planned Parenthood has done for a very long time. You would have kids who would come in that would be underage, that would be pregnant. Obviously, the result of statutory rape, whether or not there was a physical rape against their will or not, it was still statutory rape because they don't have the maturity to make those kinds of decisions. And so this is something that should have been done a very long time ago. And now they're going to have some ethical penalties with this, try to stop it. But it really is something that should have been stopped and could have been stopped a long time ago at the state level. And yet, you know, this type of action that's coming, hopefully it'll happen. But it's interesting to see that Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, who's now head of CMS. Remember, CMS is where they, you know, write the checks, basically. CMS was what Trump used to reward hospitals. If they point the finger at somebody and say, you got COVID, they get a $9,000 bonus. They put them on a ventilator, you get, they get $13,000. They put them on a ventilator, you get $39,000. So just those two things, $52,000 and a ventilator only cost $50,000. Then they would also get a 20% bonus on everything they did to the patient while they were there. So that was all being run through CMS during the Trump administration. So now you got Dr. Oz there. And Dr. Oz has got comments about how he's fully on board with stopping the gender mutilation and sterilization of children. And yet Dr. Oz was one of these people who was pushing it from the very beginning. You know, like Trump was pushing it for his for his beauty contests. He wanted to have a trainee guy for his beauty contest. You had Michael Flynn, who was pushing a transgender seal, holding him up as an example to everybody else on the second Pride Month celebration of the Pentagon, back in, what was it, 2014 or 15, that Flynn was doing that. And so all these guys who were some of the early adopters and the pushers of this stuff are now starting to back against it. Well, I hope that it's sincere. I just don't see them coming up with a rationale for why they have changed or any regret for what they pushed on people. Kennedy told his audience, which included Congress members and several attorneys general, that he signed a declaration stating that healthcare practitioners who perform sex-rejecting procedures on minors would be deemed out of compliance with professionally recognized standards of healthcare. So what does that mean? Is that an attack on their license? I mean, they came after people who gave people hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin in 2020. Will they do that for these people who are doing it? I don't know that there's really a penalty for this. I'm glad they're talking about this, but I don't really know what difference it's going to make. Well, let's get some more comments here from Trump, Lance.
Yeah, I'm having a bit of technical difficulties getting new comments, but I've got a few queued up.
Oh, okay.
So give me just a sec. I'll scroll through these to find where we left off.
Yeah, that's good. I can read them if you don't have them.
I'll have it in just one sec, sorry.
Okay, that's right.
Let's see, what's the first one? Octospook.
Well, why don't we take a break, and we'll come back and we'll get those comments read by Donald Trump, and we'll get this together. This is a very complicated thing he's done.
Got it. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Gov is not there to see you into stable homes. It is to see you lose your home and become a forever debtor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he's making sure that we're going to be forever debtors with his... Is it $38 trillion now or $39 trillion? We're going to quickly get to $40 trillion. Maybe we'll get to $45 trillion. Then everybody can give new meaning to all their 45 hats that they've got. Yeah, go ahead.
We haven't even started with 50 IR mortgages and hyperinflation yet.
That's year, Donald. 50-year mortgages and hyperinflation. That's right. that's on the way. That's on the way.
A Syrian girl says the Pentagon should see these huge ships as real big targets for missiles and drones, not protection for America.
I agree. Yeah, the way you protect America is you stop these wars of aggression. Stop dragging us into every conflict on the planet and stop creating conflicts where there is none. Go ahead.
Whackjaw says, no worries, robots will build the big boats, no more shipyards.
That's right. Yeah, we're not really building many ships at all. It's the Chinese that are doing it because they can make money. We just lose money when we build these things. Go ahead.
But KWD68 says, whatever the ships will be, they will be the best.
They'll be the best. That's right, Donald. You got that right. They're going to be huge. They're going to be 92% better than anything else that's out there as well.
Yeah. KWD68 says, Trump class will he unsinkable too. Too much hot air.
That's right. It's a combination blimp.
Hebrew 2029 says, how many illegals will it take to build a Trump destroyer?
Well, you know, they brought their cattle with them, so they'll have plenty to eat. According to Besant, that's what's the problem with the cattle industry. All these illegal immigrants brought their cattle across the border with them. Yeah. Go ahead.
Redis Bro says, yes, drone carriers, China already building them.
Yep. Real Barker.
Jason Barker says, that was creepy hearing my name read by DJT. LOL.
If he called you out, how about that? Yeah, that's now you know what it feels like for all the people who work for him that he then turns against and he calls out their name after lavishing them, flattering them over the top. Then he comes after them with every kind of petty criticism that he can imagine that's not true. Go ahead.
That was it for the ones that I've got here.
Okay, Radis Bro says, yes, drone carriers are already built in China. Real Jason Barker also says, my concern is they're going to sink a carrier as a false flag to fast-track the new fleet. I've been saying this for quite a while now. Well, it's amazing when you look at carriers, because even before the hypersonic missiles, they were, again, a high-value target. You create these massive, complex, centralized systems, and a carrier group is a good example of that. So you have the carrier in the center of it, and you have all these different layers of defense all around it, all these other ships that are around it to protect it. It truly is amazing, and again, a hallmark of an aging empire, aging in its perspective of many things. M. Siller's Trump voice reading my truth bombs is confusing my brain. Real Jason Barker says the Army of 2030 plans to have autonomous drone swarms. So I imagine the Navy is looking at the same thing. You know, one of the things, and, you know, Lance turned me onto this Daniel Suarez book. Was it Kill Decision? Was that the one?
Yeah, Kill Decision had
that is swarm. A really interesting book. First of all, it came out quite some time ago. So he war games all this stuff out. And should I give them the spoiler alert that's there? Spoiler alert, the whole thing was they start having all these attacks by drones, and the drone swarms, they had a conflation of people who were making the drones as well as some entomologists. And so they're working in terms of kind of creating a way of how they could communicate with each other. And they went with kind of an insect model where there was this kind of scent signal that they would use. And the people who were doing this, and they started doing a lot of attacks on their own people that were false flag attacks, like you're saying, Jason. And finally they take out, you know, carriers and all these other things. And the whole point was that it was a military-industrial complex to start with. They wanted to make all of these expensive, centralized, complex systems obsolete so they could sell the new drone stuff. And so that was where the entire threat came from in the book. But still a very interesting book, and it's still, Daniel Suarez does a great job with all this stuff. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop. So you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even, it's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure.
Not yet.
Now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some alto cumulus clouds. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of The David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas. And again, we're getting so close to Christmas. You might be able to get this. I don't know. Maybe if you don't live too far from Tennessee, might be able to get this by Christmas. But nevertheless, it's a great gift anyway. And I'll just also remind you of homesteadproducts.shop. They have a all-purpose seasoning blend that they had on sale. And I think it is still on sale there. But now is the season to get some seasonings, I guess. Always a great place to shop. We recommend them highly. They have very innovative products, really like that. But again, if you want to, excuse me, if you want to get the bookmark and you want to get the journal that's there, we have them all set up and ready to go. If you want to get them, we can get them out today if you place the order today.
I have a couple more comments from...
Okay, we got some more comments from the Don. Go ahead. Let it loose, Trump.
Yeah, I've been a bit behind on the comments, so here's one about the hijab.
AIMAC says they hire many Muslims as police in MN. Are they using them to take over? Which makes the massive fraud in MN even more sickening.
Yeah, and MM is Trump speak for Minnesota, sorry. But it's also Minneapolis and... There. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Queen of the Juice says, now we've stolen 3 tankers of Venezuelan oil to power the data banks.
We got to take it. Got to steal the oil. A lot of people pressed him. Well, what are you going to do with the oil? We're going to keep it. Yeah, yeah, but what are you going to do? Well, we're going to keep it. Maybe you'll put it at Mar-a-Lago or something. But no, they even said to him, you're going to put it in the strategic reserve? Yeah, we might do that. He doesn't know what he's going to do with it. It's just the use of forces there. You know, we have the migrants who are brought in as cheap labor. That's what the Republicans were getting out of this. And I said all along they're going to continue to do this until the until the robots come in. And then these people are going to be here without a job either. So it's not just going to be Americans that are losing their jobs. This is going to be the laborers that they're replacing with this. But I guess they'll put them on welfare and keep them here, right? So at Home Depot, at Home Depot, they have deployed, this is the headline, Havana-style sonic weapons against day laborers. I never believed that that was a sonic weapon. I did believe it was a targeted EMF weapon. And I believe that because the only research that the government has done that they've told us about in terms of EMF being weaponized against people was work that was done by Alan Fry. And he discovered by accident that you would hear like clicking noises and things like that for certain frequencies. And they could also produce, of course, physical effects. And since that was very similar to what people were reporting with this Havana thing, I never thought that that was a made-up thing, a conspiracy theory. This is the way the mainstream media has portrayed it, because the government wants to portray it that way. They don't want people to be aware of the fact that the government is using EMF weapons against targeted individuals. They don't even want you to think that's a thing with other governments in terms of the Havana weapon. It's really the Frye effect. And so now you have a situation where ICE and Border Patrol are running up on immigrants in Home Depot parking lots who are hanging out to get a day labor job. And it's not just that. Now Home Depot in L.A. has started using high-pitched noise machines meant to shoo away the day laborers. And again, that is something that has been weaponized. And they point that out here in this article. It's been weaponized for crowd control for some time. It's a very different thing than the Havana situation. But they're upset about it. And so you have a Hispanic city councilwoman whose last name is Hernandez said,
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute. And I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Devices like these are used as torture against our people. Again, the tribalism that is a part of this mass migration movement that they're putting it here. It's always about our people. In the same way that when you had complaints about police brutality or excessive use of police force, it was always Black Lives Matter, right? They didn't want to bring people together to push back against the use of these different things. It was always about our people, this tribalism, which keeps anything from being done. That's why I said from the very beginning, I thought that the Black Lives Matter was a way to try to shut down any real reform of this. And if you look at it, of course, from a percentage standpoint, it was affecting Black people more. But in terms of absolute numbers, it was affecting white people more. So why wouldn't you try to bring the Black people and the white people together to stop this thing? Instead, they choose to divide people by tribalism, which is what this councilwoman is doing, Hernandez, our people, because that's how she gets her votes, how she gets into office. So one guy says he has to wear earplugs to block the excruciating noise, saying it penetrates your bones. Caltrans has begun using the devices on its property as well. And they said, well, this is public land. Why is Caltrans doing this? This is not even private property. And, you know, when I saw this, it was before we saw the news about Barry Manilow having cancer. I think it's lung cancer or something. He's 82 now. And they said he may not sing again because of the lung cancer. But, you know, they still have his records, and it's been used for a very long time in some locations of private property. If they have a lot of young people who are hanging out and loitering around property, and one way to drive them off, they found, was to start playing Barry Manilow music. I wonder if Home Depot has tried that. It would It might work for Hispanics as well. Who knows? It might not just be a thing that young people don't like. And actually, I'm not putting down Barry Manilow. I think he was a really good songwriter in terms of jingles that he did. You know, he did the Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is There, and things like that. He had a lot. He was very successful musically in terms of writing really catchy tunes that were used for advertising. Yeah, not so much. You know, if you talk about the Havana effect, you could do that with Copacabana, right? Just have those old records of Barry. The Noise Machine evokes tales of a mythic weapon supposedly used Havana syndrome. Again, it's not a mythic weapon at all. They want you to think that they don't do that, but they do. So, as for comments about the sonic warfare, Home Depot said the machines are, quote, a safety initiative intended to deter and prevent illegal overnight parking in the area. It has no connection to any immigration enforcement. Well, you want to talk about weapons, and you want to talk about things they love to tell us that certain weapons are mythic, so they're not really weapons as yet. Michael Yaden has told us for the longest time, and again, he used to be a very high-ranking position in Pfizer. He left Pfizer, and he's telling people the truth about these vaccines, and he was doing it from the very beginning. You know, when you had all these MAGA influencers like Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens, when they were not telling people, Michael Yaden was, and he is now very adamant that these vaccines were designed as a weapon. Yeah, the real monster was the jab, folks.
So now I'm going to turn to something that probably of all the contributors only I can tell you, and that's that the design of these molecular structures in the vaccines, the injections, have no other purpose but to injure and kill. It's a huge claim. I've worked over 30 years with colleagues in what's called rational drug design. Every synthetic medicine that is something not purified from nature, it consists of a series of atoms and molecules and formulations. Every single component in that vial, as it turns out, has to be chosen by a person. They're not there randomly. They're not there as a natural product. Someone decided to put them in there. And you put them in there because you have particular objectives for the drug to be absorbed quickly or slowly, for it to last a long time or not, for it to go everywhere versus a certain area of the body, and so on. When I looked at these, I declare them toxic by design. They are intentionally harmful. Now, I think that fits perfectly with the lie you've been told about a pandemic. There isn't one. The purpose of the pandemic, I think, was to damage the economy, to get us used to doing what we're told under a mock emergency, and to roll up our sleeves to receive these dangerous materials. And I believe in short, if you do nothing and don't speak up and do what you're told, you will lose your freedom and then your life. I think some self-appointed group of very rich people have decided they don't like 8 billion people being on the planet and want it to be a much smaller number. I don't have a copy of the script, but I can deduce what they're doing. So given the warning I've provided to you, I suggest that you get weaving and start talking to anyone and everyone, and do so relentlessly, because this is not going away. And if we do not protest, if we do not refuse and fight back, we will lose freedom first and then our lives.
I agree with that, as some of these people say, 1,000%. Now, I agree with that as much as you possibly could. Michael Yaden was early and has been right and consistent all along. He's telling you the truth. They deliberately designed and put in this mRNA. They deliberately used lipid nanoparticles. They deliberately pegylated this stuff, knowing that it would cause an allergic reaction with a lot of people, and it did. And this is why it's so important, and why when somebody tells you that it is sugar water, who would that be? When they tell you it was sugar water, and it's okay, Trump's there, it's all right, don't worry about it. when they refuse to confront Trump, when they refuse to connect his jab to the real issue, when they say, well, COVID did this to us. No, it was Trump's lockdown policies that did it to us. And these were all part of the technocracy. It's all about population control. Yeah, we have really seen the script. It's the Georgia Guidestones. And even though Alex knew that, he still pushed this lie on people. And now they're pushing another lie to you, which is why I did that Halloween report. The whole idea that's being pushed by many people now, the lab leak idea is being pushed by most of the people in the conservative MAGA talking groups, these influencers, the same people who were silent or lied to you about the vaccine are the ones who are now pushing this lab leak stuff, folks. That's a cover-up. There was never a pandemic that came out of a lab. It was deliberately put in there. It was bioengineered. It was a bioweapon, but it was the vaccine that was the weapon. And as Michael Yaden said, we need to tell everybody this far and wide, because it is all part of the plot to take away everything from you. And as I've said, it is the other shoe to drop from 9/11. They did their first war game, Dark Winter, 2 months before 9/11, and put all that stuff in conjunction with it. So it is really key, and you should listen to Michael Yaden. Please listen to him.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We have the acting director of CISA has failed a polygraph, and the career staff are now under investigation for giving it to him. Isn't that interesting? This is, again, CISA is one of these dark agencies. It has many different uses that it can be put to. It's another one of these massive expanding bureaucracies. And people fought against it for a very long time, for good reason. When it first came out, CISA was CISPA. And they took the P out. The P was for protection. And what it was there for was to protect corporations from being sued when they turned this information over to the government. And it was all part of the government corporate partnership for censorship. And so they tried CISPA several times. In Europe, they had ACTA, SOPA, PIPA, all these different ones. And Aaron Schwartz took the lead of that and pushed very hard against that. And then he was attacked by this woman who was, her last name was Ortiz. And while he was in prison awaiting trial, and the guy was a fighter. He supposedly committed suicide. I don't believe that at all. As soon as he was out of the way, and he had fought them over and over again on these things, as soon as he was out of the way, they were able to get CISA through. Now, CISA and this director, his name is Madhu Gautam Ukula. Sounds like a Christmas song from Bing Crosby that I heard the other day. Anyway,
that's how they say it in Hawaii.
That's right. Merry Christmas to you in Hawaiian. This is Matt Hu. We'll just call him Matt Hu because I can't tackle that last name there. Anyway, he is now head of CISA, and it's because of Kristi Noem. She had brought him in to run this statewide IT cybersecurity thing in South Dakota. His expertise was he was just running IT for a big insurance company. And then she brought him in as kind of a cybersecurity expert. And then brought him along with her. She became Director of Homeland Security and put him in charge of CISA. He was first a deputy there. Now he is the acting director there. And acting like he knows what's going on. He's got a $3 billion budget there. Instead of taking ownership and saying, hey, I screwed up, he's blaming other people. And he's trying to get them fired. And so why was he taking a lie detector test? Well, it turns out that there were certain secure documents that this Indian wanted to get to for some reason. He was adamant that he needed to see these documents. And in order to be cleared for getting these documents, the procedure was that he had to take a polygraph. Now, his predecessors, as the deputy directors and directors and stuff, had chosen to forego all that stuff. And they didn't feel that there was any need to review these top secret documents. But Matt Hu was absolutely mad about getting to these things. And he was determined that he was going to see these things. And so he decides that he's going to take the polygraph test. And so he took the polygraph test and he failed the polygraph test. And so now he is blaming the people who gave him the polygraph test, and he's got people who have been there for quite some time, and he wants to fire them. They said that he did not fail a sanctioned polygraph test. What is the difference between a sanctioned and an unsanctioned polygraph test? An unsanctioned polygraph test was coordinated by the staff, and these people have now been placed on administrative leave. Well, a sanctioned one would be one that basically he would sign off on, except that he sat for this. It wasn't like they grabbed this guy, manhandled him into a chair, strapped him down like he was Alex from Clockwork Orange, and a polygraph test on. He wanted it. He sat for it. He volunteered for it. And now they're saying, well, it wasn't official. He didn't have somebody sign off on this to do it. It was unsanctioned, and he failed it. So he said, we expect and require the highest standards of performance from our employees. We hold them directly accountable to uphold all policies and procedures. Gautam Mukkala, Madhu, let's just call him, has the complete and full support of Secretary Noem and is laser focused on returning the agency to its statutory mission. When asked for clarification as to what is considered to be an unsanctioned polygraph, they said, well, random bureaucrats can't just order a polygraph. Polygraph orders have to come from the leadership who have the authority to order them. If this guy wanted it in order to get documents, if he sat for it, wouldn't you say that that is coming from leadership? And yet, that's their excuse. Again, the Trump administration coming up with the most absurd lies. 92% lies all the time. So, anyway, nearly a third of its staff have left the agency since January. Some were recently given an ultimatum to either move into immigration-related roles at Homeland Security or leave the agency altogether. Again, I don't know when this guy came to the U.S. I think he came as a college student. That's how they come and take the jobs. And so anyway, polygraphs are used widely across the Pentagon and the U.S. spy community to ferret out those whose foreign connections or personal liabilities could threaten the government's most sensitive information. Karen worked as a district personnel manager for a convenience store chain. Their policy was that anytime there was some kind of an issue with a shortage or, you know, some kind of monetary shortage or something like that, they would give the employees a polygraph test. It was absolute and utter nonsense. The only value of a polygraph test is the intimidation factor. You can really intimidate people. You can make them very nervous, and so you can kind of read that. But they can't tell if you're lying. It is a Ouija board type of thing that is going on here. I'm going to say it just gives me all new disrespect for the Pentagon and the spy community that they would depend on polygraphs to test people. They've also been used over the last year. They've become increasingly common tool under Kristi Noem to root out those who are suspected of breaking information to the media. Again, she's now been hoisted by her own petard, her own absurd little gimmick that is there, using it to see if people have leaked information. Senior staff raised questions about whether Madhu needed to review the intelligence materials on at least two occasions. But he continued to push for access, even if it meant taking a polygraph, according to four current officials. In early June, a senior agency official did not approve an initial request signed by mid-level CISA staff to grant him access to the program on the basis that there was not an urgent need to know. So you don't need to get information. You don't need to have access to this stuff. Oh, I got to have it. I'll take the polygraph. The request was not approved because only a set number of agency staff are allowed to review the program, and it is traditionally the agency's Senate-confirmed director who chooses who those people should be. It really does kind of bring up a question as to why this guy is so dead set on getting that information. A separate senior official advised Madhu that some former senior leaders at CISA had opted not to take the polygraph because access to the most sensitive programs was not considered essential to their job. Less classified versions of the requested intelligence materials would have been available without him taking a polygraph, but still he persisted. They told him that it wouldn't be a problem for him to pass the polygraph. He asked to see the intelligence, and only later started claiming that he was just doing what career staff told him to do, said a fourth current official. The allegation from DHS that the polygraph was unsanctioned is comical, since someone in his position would eventually have to sign off on his own polygraph request. He demanded it. He sat for it. But again, this is very much like Trump boasting about all the money that he's going to give himself because he sued over the Mar-a-Lago raid. You know, I look at this and it's like, okay, that was wrong. But how many times have we seen SWAT teams come in and harm or kill or destroy property, and it's even the wrong people? Are they able to get any compensation? No. Ordinary people don't get compensation for that. But Trump not only thinks that he should get compensation for it, but he was talking a couple of weeks ago about, well, I'm going to sign this off $230 million. I can do that. You know, funny thing how this works. I file the suit, and now I'm the guy that has to file, sign off on the amount. And I can do that. I'm going to write myself a check for $230 million. He just had a rally in North Carolina, said all the same stuff, except now he's saying $1 billion that he's going to write for himself. Oh, I'll just give it to charity or whatever. Again, he doesn't care that this is taxpayer money. He wants to have control of that one way or the other and put his name on it. People may fail polygraphs for innocuous reasons like anxiety or a technical error. Polygraph results are not reliable enough to be admitted as evidence in most U.S. courts. Again, it is a bluff. It is a bluff. But on August the 1st, not long after Madhu took the polygraph, at least six career staff who were involved in scheduling and approving the test were informed in letters from then-acting Chief Security Officer of DHS that their access to classified national security information was being temporarily suspended for potentially misleading him into taking the lie detector test. This is so Trumpish, isn't it? It's a comedy show that we have here. Well, I think we've got some comments from Trump, don't we, Lance?
Yes. Give me just one sec.
I should give you a little bit of a heads up before this happens, but...
Well,
let's do it when we come back. We can still do it when we come back. Let's take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Or even take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate
directly from your wrist. Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even. It's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure like this.
Now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some Alto Cumulus clouds. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking-proof. An ideal gift for fans of the David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas. Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The David Knight Show.
All right, and we're back, and I think we got some comments from that are going to be read to us by the man himself, Donald Trump.
Defy Tyrants 1776 says, the Trump-class ships will be the bigliest, bestiest, the most fantastical and spectacular ships ever, and yes, they will sink the fastiest.
Yeah, great job, Defy Tyrants. I like that. That sounded really good, having him read that, yes.
Defy Tyrants 1776 says, Trump's voice makes me sick. That ego and narcissism.
That's right. Yeah, it's the bigliest and most spectacular. That's right. Absolutely. We got some more here as well, right?
Real Jason Barker says, has anyone considered the impact of keeping these robots charged if we were to have one in every household like Elon wants?
Of course, that's Musk's voice that's there. That's, yeah. Yeah, what about that? Well, we're going to have the data centers, you know. That's fine. Maybe if you got a robot, maybe you'll get an extra allowance of juice, right? Watt it's for. But if you don't have a robot, if you don't have an electric car, maybe they cut down on your ration of electricity because that's what they're going to wind up doing. We got one more.
KWD68 says, basic impact is AI data centers and EVs and robots will need all the power. We can all die.
You can all die. That's right. And thank you, Radis Bro. Thank you very much for the tip. I appreciate
thank
that.
You, Radis Bro,
thank
for
you,
the
Radis
tip.
Bro,
says,
for the tip.
Sorry.
Okay, that's good. You got that actually in there?
Without the echo.
So you actually have it programmed.
Thank you, Radis Bro, for the tip. He says, Bean Busters. In 2003, we designed an illegal scaring device configured as a ICE agent using sonic technology. After a conditioning period, all illegals will avoid the area seeking safer grounds.
There you go. We have like a scarecrow ICE thing letting out this shrill, high-pitched sound or something. Well, more Republican socialism. Again, the Trump administration.
Well, before we move on, Mark Young says, I think these AI Trump remarks might start to make the truth sound more unbelievable. This isn't going to be for everything. This is just, we just got this working, so I'm playing around
with it.
Yeah, just
a new toy. Yeah, I thought it was a great idea that Lance had, and he implemented all this stuff, and he's got it. It's working over the Wi-Fi network even from another remote computer that he's got set up to do AI. So
yeah, the
great
idea
job,
was that
Lance.
We would have Trump read out the Trump tweets in his own voice, but we are also using it for this in the meantime since we've got it set up.
Yeah, that's the key thing. We want Trump reading his own tweets.
Travis would normally read the comments, but I want to give Dad a chance to rest his voice.
Yeah, I was choking up a little bit here as well. Anyway, we have more Republican socialism. The Trump administration has not made a convincing case for why it is buying stakes in these companies and why these companies in particular instead of others, right? How do you choose which businesses, which industries you're going to support and which ones you're not? Well, that's where the corruption comes in. That's where the donors get their leverage. Once you set up a system where government can pick the winners and losers, you're inviting corruption. And that's what Trump is. They've left this wide open door, and he is walking right through it. The Trump administration has now bought pieces of more than a dozen private companies. What began as an apparent effort to prop up stumbling giants like U.S. Steel and Intel has quickly morphed into a recurring, even routine behavior. And it's all happening without even an attempt at getting congressional authorization. I remember when they bailed out Chrysler. That was a big deal. There was a lot of debate about that. Congress was involved in that. But now Trump gets to pick the winners and losers. And he goes into business with them. This pivot towards a more aggressive form of state capitalism is a risky experiment that involves more central planning, invites more corruption. It's an open display, folks. And it risks both taxpayer dollars and vital sectors of the economy. Because when government gets in and picks the winners and losers, even within a sector, it's going to pick the wrong ones. and it's going to stop the competitive aspects of a free market. Administrations, one of the administration's many intrusions into the private economic sphere, tariffs are another one. The attacks on independent media outlets is another one, and so on. The rapid acquisition of shares in so many private companies has been astonishing. In just the past few weeks, there has been a whirlwind of additional acquisitions. You have Vulcan Elements, a North Carolina-based company that makes advanced magnets. And, of course, you got the Trump family involved in that as well. ReElement Technologies, which also is involved in the supply chain for rare earth minerals, was announced at the same time. This month, the White House announced that it was taking a 10% stake in Korea Zinc, which is building a new plant in Tennessee. The Trump administration is also taking an undisclosed equity stake in Xlite, a Silicon Valley startup that will receive $150 million from taxpayers via the CHIPS and Science Act. The company is attempting to compete with a Dutch firm, which is currently the only manufacturer in the world producing ultraviolet lithography machines capable of making high-end semiconductor chips. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has also granted permission to NVIDIA to sell its most advanced chips to buyers in China, but only after they agreed to pay 25% of the profits from these sales to the federal government. And so, as Reason points out, this ought to raise a lot of questions. If Trump is going to block the sale because it represents some kind of a national security threat to the U.S., then why does that national security threat go away if we get 25% of the profits? It's utter nonsense.
It's nice to see the government investing in good American companies like NVIDIA and Korea Zinc.
That's right.
I'm sure they're a classic American company.
That's right. The dollar has no nationality to Trump, and it's how can he and his family feather their nest? That's what's really going on here. There's certainly a long history of federal government propping up, subsidizing, and protecting businesses for political reasons, even though there is no constitutional authority to do that. But what is happening now is fundamentally different. Previous subsidies and other forms of protectionism were offered broadly. They were provided at arm's length. And they were authorized by law, by Congress, after a debate. Even though they weren't authorized by the Constitution, at least you go through the debate process in Congress. Washington doesn't interest itself in a firm's public share price or its day-to-day business, sales, purchases, and that type of thing, besides giving them a subsidy agreement. But Trump's state corporatism, Trump's economic fascism, fundamentally differs from these policies in that it empowers the government to be involved in a specific company's routine operations and to care deeply about the firm's ultimate success or failure. Folks, this is just Chinese fascism, and it is corruption. When you look at these Chinese leaders, for example, the mentor and the, I guess they not so much a mentor as a patron, giving Steve Bannon money. You know, Steve Bannon, when he was arrested for his border fraud, was arrested off of the yacht of a Chinese billionaire who was on the lam from China after he got a lot of money in China because of this model. If you're connected politically, you can shake people down for permission to be the favored to operate or to be the favored business. And this Guo guy got a lot of money that way. All these things are set up that way. You know, we look at Maduro, this socialism that's there, you know, nationalizing the oil properties and everything, that's making his people and Chavez's family rich. Trump is doing the same thing. He's like a third world dictator. He's like a Chinese communist dictator. It's corruption, folks. And it is something that is a cancer on our industries because they don't have to compete. They just have to please the government. Unless Congress demands this, it's unlikely to be much resistance to Trump's new state capitalism, as Reason calls it, because the companies involved in these deals are eager to go along. They make a lot of money, and he's just getting started. Let me tell you, he's going to do a lot of stuff with AI, and he's already started, you know, just after this was written. His company, his family company, got deeply involved again as Trump Media got involved with a fusion power company. Why? Because that's tied in with AI. And he's also going to get involved, I think, in stablecoins. They already are to a large degree. Eric Trump has said they're going to replace all the banks within 10 years. So the Trump family is repositioning itself into an industry they think is going to replace all banking. They're positioning themselves into AI data centers and all the rest of the stuff, which, again, if they weren't in government, that'd be smart moves, even if I don't agree with those dirty businesses, but it would be smart from an economic standpoint alone. But the problem is that it's corruption. It's a conflict of interest, and we know exactly what is happening here. State capitalism doesn't just serve the interests of the state. It serves the interest of favored capitalists. How do they get that favor? They get that favor by donating to Trump and his causes. That's why a politician is the best investment you can make. You spend $1,000, you get $1 million. Spend $1 million, you get $1 billion. We've seen this happen over and over again. Asked recently about the logic behind these acquisitions, Trump said, "We should take stakes in companies when people need something." Well, that's an answer that lacks any limiting principle. Yeah, you need something? Well, we just do it, right? The powerful executive branch that is unrestrained by Congress, by precedent, or by principle, I would say by Constitution, will only keep growing. Even vague claims of national security are enough to establish a new and dangerous norm that allows presidents to insert themselves into the management of private companies. And so again, you can say that it's an emergency. You can say it's national security. These are the magic wands that Trump waves to give him, when he waves these wands, he gets the little crown on his head, just like he took a bite of margarine or something. Small man, big ego. Adding Trump's name to the Kennedy Center only shows his weakness and his shallowness. An editorial from the Daily News. And again, it is not important in the sphere of things, but it does show us the man's character, or lack of. The fact that he has taken over the Kennedy Center, and now he is going to call it the Kennedy Trump Center, adding his name to it. And this is, he had done the same thing with the Institute of Peace. He's now called the Trump Institute of Peace, as he's starting wars everywhere and funding them, which is odd because Trump wanted to shut down the Institute of Peace. He kept it, then put his name in front of it. Just like he's wanting to rename the Department of Defense, the Department of War, except they haven't gone through the formalities to do that or spent the money to do that. As he renamed the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of America, Trump is very much active in putting his mark everywhere. And that's a big part of why he's building this palace next to the White House there. Joe Biden's likeness was hung up on a gold frame with an auto pen. It's funny if you're in grade school, and that's the thing, it really is stupid. So when you look at the amount of money they spent on this ballroom, rapidly going from $200 million to $300 million to $400 million, gone. I mean, it's like some kind of an auction. Keeps going up. Trump has been tearing down norms and laws and customs and traditions since January the 20th. Why not historical structures as well? Trump only cares about Trump, not about public service, not about the Constitution, not about the people. Being loyal to Trump will get you nothing. To Trump, everyone is disposable. As a matter of fact, you know, when he shut everybody down, he called all the Main Street mom-and-pop businesses. He said they were non-essential. Yet there is a steady stream of new allies who are lining up to please him and to kiss the ring. A lifelong con man, Trump knows there will always be new suckers, and there's a new one born every minute. Trump still has 3 years and a month remaining. Don't be surprised should he try to add his own bust to Mount Rushmore or put dishonest Don in a chair at the Lincoln Memorial next to Honest Abe. He's photobombing all these different things. And again, the amazing thing where he keeps boasting about, yeah, I can write a check to myself. You know, first it was $230 million, and now at this North Carolina rally, he said, yeah, $1 billion. He goes, funny thing, speaking of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, he suddenly spoke about a $1 billion sum they claimed that he could give to himself. He said, maybe I'll give to charity, maybe I won't, I don't know. So, again, suddenly it's four times as much as it was. Of course, he's the guy who determines that. Is he going to write himself a check for $230 million, which is an absurdity? As I said before, where's the compensation for the people who had children maimed because a SWAT team had the wrong house and threw a grenade into the crib of a baby? Or the police who shoot up a house at as they were in the middle of a pursuit? Or any of the other things that happen all the time with the government? Everybody else is subject to this stuff, and we're subject to civil asset forfeiture, just like the nonsense that he's doing with the oil tankers. It's just piracy and theft. Nobody else gets any compensation. But he was going to pay himself $230 million. Now he's quadrupled that just overnight, arbitrarily. Because why? Because he can do it. Unchecked power.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And I got to say, my contempt for the Republican Party, people like Mike Johnson that just rubber stamp this tyranny, grows every day. It disgusts me to see how passive they are. How they have betrayed this country for loyalty to a man. Loyalty to Trump, who is disloyal to everyone around him, including his wives. So when will he ever stop? Will he ever give any compensation to anybody else? No, never. There's never been a case like this. This is Trump talking. Donald Trump sues the United States of America. Donald Trump becomes president. And now Donald Trump has to settle the suit. It's another weird thing about himself. I mean, he always talks about himself in the third person. I hereby give myself $1 billion. Actually, maybe I shouldn't give it to charity. Maybe I should just keep the money. No? Well, a lot of people have said, do it. Yeah, we'll see what happens with this. Yeah. He has absolutely, besides the injustice and the absurdity of this, again, he has absolutely no concerns about the budget deficit. The tens of trillions of dollars that he has run up.
Yeah, I mean, even if he does give it to charity, it's, oh, because injustice has been committed to me, I'm going to take money from the taxpayers and give it to charity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
not, it's absurd.
That's right. And when we look at the fallout from his tariffs that's happening, we're seeing that this is hitting Kentucky bourbon industry. Again, their foreign sales have just evaporated, especially in Canada, after he made America odious to Canadians with his taunting and his lies about fentanyl and all the rest of the stuff and threatening to make it the 51st. All of it, just absolute nonsense. It's professional wrestling trash talk. It's all this guy does. And so he sets up the tariffs, and now Jim Beam is shuttering their Kentucky distillery on halting production for 2026. And this is their campus. They got several different places, so this is just one of them. But it's the one that is in Happy Hollow. They said that production statewide of bourbon is down 28%. And in Kentucky, that is a $9 billion industry. And they've lost about a third of it, well, a quarter of it through a third of it. So we're talking about, you know, maybe $2.5 to $3 billion has disappeared because of Trump's tariffs. That's the effect. Lowest level since 2018. Exports have fallen. Sales to Canada are down more than 60% through October due to a boycott that is tied to, they say, trade tensions. It's tied to Trump's tensions. Trump is the one who has created the war, the tension. And with all that happening, he's coming after Marjorie Taylor Greene. He calls her now a stone-cold liberal. Really? He says that she is a stone-cold liberal, highly neurotic. No, the reality is that it's Trump who's the liberal. It's Trump who was pushing tranny stuff, every kind of depravity, and hanging around with Jeffrey Epstein. It is Trump who is a tax-and-spend Democrat, not Marjorie Taylor Greene or these other people he's attacking like Thomas Massie. He is the Republican. He is the Manchurian candidate for the globalist. You know, what is Republican if about economic fascism and corporate cronyism? So, again, Trump, at that speech in Rocky Mount, slammed Greene as a stone-cold liberal and highly neurotic and... And yet, look at his neurotic, well, we could say, you know, he was neurotic or erratic about his tariffs, constantly changing them all the time. He gets upset with some leader of a country, then he tacks a tariff on everything that they do. All of a sudden, jumps up to 100%. It's ridiculous. Trump hit Marjorie Taylor Greene with his nickname, Marjorie Traitor Brown. I guess if you're an eight-year-old, this is really funny. And I guess maybe that's kind of the level of people who are following this guy around at this point. They still haven't caught on as to what is happening here. So he goes on, he said, well, she knows that I would have gotten behind somebody who would, quote, kill her in the polls. And then they talk about how brave she is. No, brave would be to stay in the race. And, you know, it's one of those things, he said. So I guess, by that logic, Trump, are you calling Thomas Massie brave because you're not running him off with all your Zionist money and donors coming after him and all your personal attacks against him? He is still in the race. So, again, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have some comments here. We'll be right back, folks.
One comment ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, DG8, for the tip. He says, the Trump cult celebrates Trump rhetoric as real action. Words are cheap. Who in the deep state has been arrested? I personally would like to see the first deep state arrest as Pam Bondi for Epstein.
That's right. Yeah, let's start. Let's understand the deep state. Are people like Cash Patel and Pam Bondi who are feasting at the pig trough now? Cash Patel, I'm talking about you. You have become what you always criticized. And the hypocrisy is just evident for everybody to see. We'll be right back.
I wish I had the Christmas Night album. You can get the Christmas Night album at thedavidnightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hat full. First, I'm going to thedavidnightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like, are you going to throw a rug?
I want the Christmas Night album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and as all new, I'll Be Home for Christmas. What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it, pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
David Knight Show.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Okay, so we got a comment here. Well, I'll take this one instead of giving it to Don. James Faithways says, "Hey, David, have you or your crew or any of your guests done research into methylene blue? It seems to be pushed by everyone, including those who really only believe in natural remedies." Well, you know, I've seen pictures of RFK Jr. taking it. It was recommended to me by somebody who looked at natural remedies as a doctor that we talked to when I had the stroke. And as part of the operation, hypolingual nerve was damaged with it, and they damaged my vocal cords. And I'm thankful that that's now recovered now. But as part of that, and it seemed to make a big difference when I did it, I took some methylene blue and used red light therapy on my mouth and my tongue and things like that. That seemed to help a lot. And so I can just say it from an anecdotal standpoint. I'll also tell you anecdotally, It was some of the worst tasting stuff I've ever had. It was horrible. And but it was in a liquid format. And so it's not something that I would take as a regular supplement. I didn't look into any long-term effects of it. It is, after all, a dye that was there. I don't know why somebody started drinking it or, you know, using it. I really don't know how that came about.
Well, the dyes are color-coded for your convenience. The red ones are bad and the blue ones are good.
That's right. Take the blue pill or the blue dye, right? Take the red pill, but take the blue dye instead.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I looked it up when you asked about that, because you were still recovering from the stroke and all that. And there was a lot of studies that show it is very good for stroke recovery.
Yeah.
But that's kind of an obscure use for it. It's not really good for what ails you. It's specifically, if you're recovering from a stroke, methylene blue is a very good thing to take.
Yes.
There are
It would have been better if I had started taking it even earlier. Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead. There are questions about side effects, so I wouldn't take it unless you have a reason to take it.
Yeah, but if you've had a stroke, I would recommend it. I could definitely tell the difference with it when I took it. And so, you know, it's one of these things, again, why did somebody start taking that? Why did somebody think that they would ingest a dye? I remember when some of us were talking about the Gershom treatment or whatever. It was juicing a lot of stuff, doing hypernutrients and everything. It's a cancer treatment. And also doing coffee enemas. And I had a friend I told that about. He went hysterical laughing because, why would anybody ever think of doing a coffee enema? It's one of these things, like, why would you ever think about ingesting blue dye? I don't know. But, hey, if it works, because people do strange stuff, drugs and other things like that. So as we were saying before, the Trump media is going to merge with a nuclear fusion company to power AI. More merger, more grift, more corruption. Trump is merging corporations with government, as I said before, and now he's getting the fusion power through a $6 billion merger of his social media firm and a Google-backed technology company just days after the industry representatives urged for federal funding. Let me guess. He's going to get rid of regulations for them, and he'll also find some way to give this company federal funding. As I said before, maybe he envisions himself you know, he's the father of the vaccine. Maybe he can be Mr. Fusion as well, instead of Biff from Back to the Future again. Expect the safety regulations for these nuclear power plants to be swept aside. You know, isn't it funny? Nuclear radiation, they don't even care about the issues of nuclear waste or the potential of some kind of a Chernobyl meltdown. None of that stuff is even on the radar of these people. As long as it doesn't put out CO2, it's fine, right? But if it put out CO2, like all animals do, or if it put out CO2 that is necessary for plants, oh, we'd have to shut that down. That's a deadly threat. But if it's radiation or the threat of a meltdown, nothing to worry about. Let's just go straight ahead with this. So the company was founded in 1998. It is now in the energy storage business, one of these battery energy storage sites, which, by the way, you know, Ford canceled their Lightning F-150 truck. And isn't that interesting? You take the most popular vehicle, the Ford F-150, and by far and away the most popular, and then you take away the engine and put in a battery, and nobody wants it. What does that tell you about consumer demand? This is all being pushed by government subsidies, by people like Biden and so forth. They lost $5 billion last year. They lost $19.5 billion this year. So they're getting out of that. Where are they going? Well, Ford's going to go into the battery energy storage side thing, because that's going to be the next big major ripoff. And even worse than the money is the fire hazard that that presents. Imagine a gigantic array of batteries. It's like a tinderbox. Anyway, it's going to burn through a lot of money, even if it doesn't burn through our neighborhoods. Trump media shares jumped 33%. As one person said, an analyst, well, this company will clearly have major political support from Trump, in our view. That's right. He's going to clear the way for regulations, and he's going to shower them with cash. This, folks, is corruption. This is a guy who is handed a fortune and blew it, bankrupting six casinos. And now he wants to pick the winners and losers based on the criteria of whether or not they make money for him. That's what's really happening here. So he's got this company, that social media company, that's now getting a fusion. It's being run by former Congressman Devin Nunes as a CEO. So obviously, geniuses at work here. So what does Trump's AI czar really want?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A good example of this, again, is David Sacks. David Sacks is the guy that he put in for both crypto. He was a crypto czar. Now he's going to be the AI czar. And he's been there for both the Genius Act for crypto and as well as the Genesis Act for AI. David Sacks is somebody who is part of the technocracy, part of the PayPal mafia. Very early connections to Peter Thiel. That's how he got wealthy. Peter Thiel, I guess we could call him the Trump whisperer, right? Anything Thiel wants, he gets from Trump. He became part of the Thiel and Elon Musk PayPal mafia, David Sacks did, and when the company was sold to Microsoft for $1.2 billion. And then he founded a venture capital firm, like most of these PayPal mafia guys did. They took all this money and they started investing it into other startups, and he invested into SpaceX and XAI, and now he is there at the White House as the tech guy. So he's got a podcast called All In, and this is Vox. They say he's a conservative, and yet he was politically involved in giving money in previous election cycles to Hillary Clinton. Only Vox could call somebody like that conservative, and only Trump could put somebody like that in a Republican administration and get away with it. He mostly gives to Republicans now. He was against the January 6th, quote-unquote, insurrection. He was actually backing Ron DeSantis, and he asked his buddy Elon to host Twitter Spaces with DeSantis back when they were still calling it Twitter, if you remember that. It was an audio disaster. He also hosted a fundraiser for Vivek the Snake Ramaswamy. So he's got all the usual suspects as friends and supporters. He hosted then a fundraiser for Trump in June of 2024 in his home in San Francisco. And that turned everything around. This guy who had been on the opposite side, who had been giving money to Democrats and to Hillary Clinton, all of a sudden reinvents himself in order to get access. He's one of these Silicon Valley billionaires and venture capitalists who all flocked around Trump, you know, that we saw most of them doing it in the summer and flocking around him in the inauguration. It really turned things around, the fake assassination attempt. I think they saw that and they saw how everybody fell for it. And they go, this is who's going to win. And they all shifted to that point. Zuckerberg, a whole lot of them did. Trump is very impressed with it. And so that was his end into the Trump administration. He goes from outside of the Washington, D.C. establishment into a role in the Trump White House. And what is he doing for Trump now, and how serious is the job? Well, his title is White House AI and Crypto Czar. As I said, I don't think we need a czar. We don't need a Caesar. We don't need a king. How is that a thing? Why do they keep using that term? It's disgusting. He's playing an extremely pivotal role in these two technologies that he's been put in charge of. Yeah, he's in a very, very important situation, David Sacks is. So states want to regulate AI. Governors want laws on the books, greeting, protecting people from AI. You know, except for Marsha Blackburn, the Republican who is running for governor here in Tennessee. She is pushing very hard to take away 10th Amendment powers from herself if she wins the governorship, and she is by far and away the front runner in this. So she doesn't want the power to regulate AI. She doesn't want to do anything with it. Talk about a red flag. I'm done with Marsha. Marsha. I think you're part of the Brady Bunch here, but not governor material. They tried to make it clear. We're not trying to stop you from protecting teens in your district or what you have. We just want laws that are not onerous, that won't slow us down. You know what would slow them down is if we regulated these AI data centers, and that's what they don't want. So they want your electricity. They want to ration it to you economically. They want to ration it to you from an availability standpoint. That's what they want. We want no hindrance for AI. They make it clear. This executive order definitively reflects their interest in making sure that there is not a quote-unquote patchwork of laws. This is what they always say when they want to consolidate power in Washington unconstitutionally. They say, we can't have a patchwork of regulations around the states. Why not? Why not? That's what the Constitution calls for. David Sacks is a rich man who is powerfully connected in the White House. He does not want there to be any AI regulation. But you have Americans who are concerned about AI, so which side of this do you think is going to end up winning? They asked as they play around with this on Vox, and they said, well, increasingly there's concerns from parents who read stories about chatbots, doing things with kids. And at the same time, you got people who are pushing back in an organized way against having more data centers in their neighborhood. Let me say one thing. I don't care about Marsha Blackburn's Genesis Act, and I don't care about Trump's executive orders. We have the Constitution on our side, and if we got anybody at the state level that's got a backbone and a spine, they could stand up to this nonsense and say, no, I'm going to regulate it, and you can't stop me. Now, of course, what would happen in response to that would be a lot of economic blackmail and bribery. But that's why I said they've got to have a spine to stand up to that kind of thing. The thing that will really shape how the tech industry has to behave is any checks on its ability to grow. And so, again, these people are after political power. They're after electrical power. That's going to be the basis of it. And it's going to be very difficult to stop them. But that's where the fight is right now, folks. You need to understand that. Well, the White House is very confused about how a random YouTuber's stream got featured on its website. Maybe they should ask these tech geniuses like David Sacks and others, right? They're so smart. I was just trying to stream with my buddies, he said. So they said on Friday, the White House said it was launching an investigation after some bearded dude's YouTube stream suddenly showed up on its official website. The live stream was hosted by a guy, Real Matt Money, who is seen on the Bloomberg screenshot. He was also seen on the White House's live news section, sitting at a typical streaming setup and wearing gaming headphones and dark gray t-shirt. An overlay shows his stream chat, where viewers praise his analysis. Beneath the video window, the stream's title displayed an elegant White House font, promising that there will be no midstream ads, plus a little descriptor offering a $10 discount if you click a link for StreamYard. It was available on the live news section of the official White House website shortly before midnight. Real Matt Money says he has no idea how any of this happened. He says, there's no way this is real, right? He said on Friday, after that happened on Thursday night, I was just trying to stream with my buddies. The strange incident is bound to raise eyebrows given the Trump administration's track record of cybersecurity gaffes. Maybe they need to ask Madhu, Gautamakara, or whatever the guy's name is, the guy who failed the lie detector test. Maybe they need to give him a lie detector test and ask him how cybersecurity missed this. You know, that's his department, CISA. How did they miss this? How did this happen? Does this guy have any clue? You've got Secretary of Defense Hegseth accidentally leaking secret bombing plans and unsecure group chat, many other things. So this guy, Real Matt Money, he gives investor advice to his audience. He works as a petroleum engineer in Texas, and he's a fan of Trump, he said. Had I known I would be on the White House page, I would have probably dressed a little differently, he said. Well, yeah, dress it up. But
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Meanwhile, Twitter users have uncovered a secret link to bizarre CDC text files. See, this is the thing. You know, this guy gets on the White House website. They have no idea how this happens. Then there's another file from the CDC that leaks out onto Twitter. I can't wait until they get the skinny on all of this vaccine stuff, when they get the secret documents get leaked out mistakenly about that. So the odd file was discovered by a Twitter user who goes by the name Charlie. Does anyone want to see some scary CDC webpage I accidentally stumbled on just now? It's basically just a long list of single words that seems to have been there since 2009. The first word was damnatory. Is that even a thing? Then it talks about counter-revolutionaries, swordplay, necromancy, lovemaking, all the rest of this stuff. This is on the CDC site. It seems related to the CDC's mortality medical data system, a program first developed in 1967 to automate entry, classification, and retrieval of cause of death information from death certificates. Maybe we should start calling this whole plandemic the damnatory attack. These people getting into it. By the way, I didn't have this in the stream deck, Lance, but it's on my Twitter feed, and a little bit down, there's a thing. When I first saw this, I thought it was pretty clever, and it was a guy who was doing a selfie. So he's there at an iconic movie set, like the ones that are pictured here in the stills. He's there with the Pirates of the Caribbean, or he's there with Gladiator, he goes from one to the other. So he takes a picture with one of these characters, and then he runs to another one. If you got it, we could show people what I'm talking about. And I thought it was pretty clever.
The computer keeps disconnecting from the internet. I'm pulling it up.
Okay. All right. That's fine. It's not necessary if you pull it up, but it's kind of interesting. I thought it was really, it just, you know, he takes a selfie with a character in a particular set of a very famous movie, and then he runs to another one. So it's continuous. He runs to, you know, off to the side, and on another set, he's doing it again. I thought, well, that's a good use of AI. I thought that was really clever. They don't like this. They said, now people with the powers of AI, annoying dorks can now pretend that they're friends with cool and famous people. Well, that wasn't my take on it. I thought it was a clever use of this. But that is something that came out of Nano Banana Pro that Google just released. So that's showing some of the capabilities. And I thought it was very realistic. I mean, all of the faces look very real and is able to set up these different sites. I liked it enough that I retweeted it. And now everybody is doing it. And it's like, oh, gosh, this is really... It's really being overdone. Once somebody found the prompt to it or something like that, they start redoing it with all these different movies. Elon says his new rocket is as important as the origin of life itself. These people are filled with their own self-importance, aren't they? And he had an interview where he was speaking to Katie Miller, the wife of Stephen Miller, Trump's deputy chief of staff. And he said, there's a lot that's coming down the pipeline. She said, like what? He said, well, Starship. The degree to which Starship is revolutionary technology is not well understood in the world. It's the first time there's been any rocket design where full rapid reusability is possible. Well, full reusability at all is possible, or full reusability at all is possible, he said. This is the first design where a reusable rocket is one of the possible outcomes, he said. If there are historians in the future that will look back at Starship and say it's one of the most profound things that ever happened. You can think of historic events as where would they fit in the evolutionary hall of fame? You got things like single cell life, multicellular life, capturing a mitochondria, and then also on that scale, probably in the top 10, is life becoming multiplanetary. These guys are scary in their lack of discernment and their obsession with what they do, their godlike egos. Keep in mind, this is all about SpaceX Starship, which has struggled to launch and subsequently land without exploding. Failure is so profound that NASA is now shopping around for an alternate vendor for its moon landing, and I would say for its first moon landing. I don't believe they ever got this thing off the ground, especially, you know, when you look at one of those test fires of the rockets that he had down in South Texas, and it blew up the concrete landing pad and chunks of concrete were flying, you know, unbelievable distances with that stuff. But why did that never happen with the Saturn V rockets that supposedly took us to the moon? And, how did they... Anyway, it's just so many questions about that. He says, there just aren't very many things that are in the top 10 of the evolution of life, where you can basically say, where you can evaluate any given civilization or any given life form as, you know, on that scale, he said. So life becoming multiplanetary, that's in the top 10. That's what he thinks is really going on here. Meanwhile, as I pointed out before, Cybertruck is having a lot of issues. We just had the death of people who got locked inside. I've got a friend who's got a Tesla, and... we were talking about it. He says, yeah, I got locked inside this thing once for a couple of hours. And fortunately, I had my phone, and I could call tech support and get them to unlock my doors. And it's like, it's a fun car to drive, I got to say. It's a very different car. It's totally different than the Miata. The Miata is a kind of a momentum car. You know, you keep the speed going, and you keep the speed through the curves and all the rest of the stuff, whereas the Tesla... it's very much like being inside of a electric slot car they used to play with when I was a kid. You know, the slot cars, you you know, put your thumb on the gas and all of that thing takes off. And as soon as you ease off, it stops right away. And that's the way it is with a Tesla. It's a different experience. It's kind of fun to drive it. It's got a low center of gravity. It's good. But all of the other stuff that's on it, I really don't like on it. So despite a pessimistic sales forecast, Tesla shares have skyrocketed and are almost 50% in the last 6 months, showing yet again how the company's $1.5 trillion market cap is largely untethered from the success or the reality of its core business. But that hasn't stopped Tesla CEO Elon Musk from seemingly putting his thumb on the scales in addition to that. He's got SpaceX has bought more than 1,000 Cybertrucks from Tesla. This is very much like what Jensen Huang did and is doing with NVIDIA, you know, where he is the circular investing, loaning money to his customers so that they can buy his NVIDIA chips. And so Musk has got SpaceX buying Cybertrucks from Tesla, and a large amount as well, more than $100 million of Cybertrucks. According to registration data, the company sold only 5,385 Cybertrucks in the U.S. in the third quarter, a drop of 62% compared to the same period last year. These are teeny tiny numbers for a car company. This is a niche product. And again, when you look at things like, you know, the Ford F-150, I think they sell, you know, a couple hundred thousand of those a year. And I'm talking about the real ones, not the electric ones, which nobody wants those things either. Cybertruck has been recalled 8 times, in addition to the other issues that just recently happened.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And then here's some positive news. After high school has banned cell phones, actual human interaction is flourishing. They're talking about, oh, look, they're doing this and they're doing that. And it's like, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that happened when we were in high school, people my age, when they didn't have phones. They said that New York Magazine reported that while the bell-to-bell ban on cell phones was intended to foster a distraction-free learning environment, it is allowing old-fashioned human socializing to flourish. All of a sudden, kids are playing cards at lunch, even board games. They're trying their hand at sports. They're discovering the joys of old-school analog tech and even a little no-stakes gambling. In general, the vibes are way, way up, they said. A senior said they preferred the phone-free pastime. One of the things that they really liked was playing dominoes. So dominoes is a really staple Dominican game, so this one person. People get passionate. You have to slam that first piece down on the table. Kids are playing volleyball during lunch, and it's an equal number of boys and girls. they're socializing. They're socializing boys versus and girls are socializing. They said when the phones were first banned, there was a lot of grumbling, and it was cumbersome to cram a lot of homework or last-minute quiz prep between classes. Now she says she prints out her study guides and finds that the paper is much more effective for learning. She said, I don't get distracted by notifications. That's what this is about. This is the electronic paper thing. As a matter of fact, we were to the point where we're printing out 300 or 400 pages a day of articles, and this is a lot easier to manage it. And unlike using it on some of these, this does practically nothing. It just pulls up PDFs and lets me annotate it. But there's no distractions. There's no alarms going off. There's no ability to connect to the internet, any of that stuff. When I start working with this, that's what I'm working on. And that's what this person was saying about paper. So they said, honestly, half the people are playing board games, and I didn't know at all about this before. It's made us a lot closer, said one person. You know, that was a nice thing last year. We had, that was last year that we had with Keith. Played board games, and it was the board game that we had that was conspiracy board game. The person who was the best at that was not me. It was Lance. He knows all these conspiracies inside and out. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, folks.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, and welcome back. And I think, Lisa, we have some Trump comments, reading some comments for us.
Yes, we do.
Okay. There we go.
Thank you, DG8, for the tip. He says, the Trump cult celebrates Trump rhetoric as real action. Words are cheap. Who in the deep state has been arrested? I personally would like to see the first deep state arrest as Pam Bondi for Epstein.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had that one before, but I heartily agree with that sentiment. Thank you very much. You got any others?
The Syrian girl says, sugar water. Trump's got your back. He also has a big, beautiful knife.
Yeah, that's right. The biggest, the longest knife to stick in your back. Any others?
Solocat 1980 says, sugar water and a big, beautiful syringe. It's huge.
Nobody could read that like Trump. It truly is amazing. I like the inflection that's there. That's great. You got another one?
Thank you, Tallman916, for the tip. He says, David and Lance, this is President Trump. I expect immediate royalty payments for the usage of my strong, beautiful voice on your show. It's the best comment reading voice ever.
Yeah, I would like to see you try. Go ahead. This is political parody. I know you don't like that, but... Yeah, it's, we got, by the way, we're going to put up the, this wonderful eye. We're going to put it up as a test on YouTube. And, so later on today, I'm going to give it to Travis and get him to create a channel and we'll put it up. So I don't know what channel to tell you, but you can look for it by the title. And, that was the very first thing that ever got censored at InfoWars. They claimed it was a copyright violation. And the copyright that they have on It's a Wonderful Life expired, and they got it back under very dubious circumstances. But it was never about that. They always want to shut down political comment, and by doing that, same thing they did with the Hitchcock MacGuffin for the climate thing. They don't like satire. It's very damaging, said Saul Alinsky. It's the most damaging of anything is satire, so... they don't like that. But those things are covered under fair use, and so is this. Do you have any others, or can I?
Mr. Non-PC says, electric cars are useless, even worse in the winter. The battery gets drained to nothing in the cold weather.
I figured that
was something you're not going to hear Elon Musk say on a regular basis, but it absolutely is true. Absolutely is true. Well, real quickly.
I've got one more.
Okay.
Real Jason Barker says, the devastation to the earth to produce those batteries is massive. There is also child labor involved in horrible conditions for the minerals 50.
That's right. And isn't it the height of hypocrisy that a guy who became the world's richest man by grifting the whole green movement, you know, his electric vehicles and things like that, isn't it amazing that he's now launching these satellites? Total disregard for any of the so-called greenhouse gases that they're telling everybody we're going to die from. Truly is insane. Well, we don't have much time left. But I just want to say, you know, last year I did the ad that you all know, the silver and gold ad about Yukon Cornelius telling everybody there was a lot of Trump euphoria about crypto and everything, but the fundamentals were the same last year. And we could see what was set up for gold. And, you know, we have... It's time for, I guess, the New Year predictions. When you look at this, people are saying, well, what's going to happen with gold and silver next year? The way I look at it, the same factors that were driving gold and silver this year are still there. As a matter of fact, many of them are going to get worse. For example, Trump's not going to do anything at all about the deficit or about inflation except to feed them and make them worse. And one of the ways he's going to do that is he's going to put his own guy in at the Fed this next year. That's going to be a big plus for gold and silver. And then, of course, the financial reset is still going on. The dollar's getting weaker. Central banks are stocking up on gold, and everybody's trying to accumulate gold for the next financial system. And then next year, that's something that we've been having going on. That's going to continue. Then next year, we're going to have a lot more institutional buyers. We're going to have stable coins or trying to make their coins stable. So they're collecting gold, and you also have the paper gold people are rushing around to get it. So go to Tony Arterburn's Wise Wolf Gold. You can get there through davidknight.gold, and that lets Tony know that you're coming through us. Thank you so much for listening. Have a Merry Christmas. We're going to take off tomorrow. We're going to do a rebroadcast. And so for Christmas Eve, Christmas, and the day after, we're going to have rebroadcast. So we will still be broadcasting, but it won't be live. So thank you all for your support. Thank you for the many gifts that you gave us yesterday. And may you have a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year as well. Thank you.
Or even take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even. It's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some Alto Cumulus clouds. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of The David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.